All right. So first, how about that convoy, eh? And where's BJ? Where's BJ Dichter? And Tamara Leach. Interesting enough about Tamara Leach, the charges of 10 years is mischief. That's the maximum penalty. I don't know if she's going to get that. And I was wondering if anybody wants to weigh in on the convoy organizers, if they had any thoughts on the convoy, what the convoy meant to them, if they feel totally defeated, and what. Sweet. I'll get to you in just a second, 80 Canadian, and Will, what they feel that we can do moving forward with the convoy, or the people that were motivated, how we can get those people that were standing on the side of the street in the overpass, how we can get them back to not wearing a mask, not complying, and being empowered to join us. So, as I promised, this is an interaction, so we're going to bring on the first speaker. Member 80 Canadian, and I will unmute you, and you will be allowed to add your opinion. Come on in and give us your opinion on what you think of the convoy or the organization, or where do we go from here, and how do we get those people that were on the side of the road, how do we get them back so that we keep those numbers and we keep the motivation going? What's your thoughts on it? You're on, 80 Canadian. You should be unmuted.
So cool, Eric. Can you hear me? All right.
Yeah, I can hear
Cool. So, yeah, regarding the convoy, obviously I'm 100% all for it. But I guess my first point is I have a question. I've been hearing that the truckers are regrouping outside of Ottawa, and there's more convoy on the way. And my understanding is that they are coming back to Ottawa, like they're bringing the trucks back into the city. And I just wanted to know if that is for sure what's happening. That's my major question, if anyone could shed light on that for my benefit. And when it comes to the convoy the spokespeople, the only one that I know personally is Corporal Danny Bulford. Him and I actually we grew up together. We were really good friends when we were kids. And if he's part of the spokespeople, then I have to trust that they're on our side, because I've known him to be a pretty stand-up guy. Like I said, I've known him for over 25 years. So if he's part of this, then I have no doubt that they have our best interest in mind. But when it comes to some of the others, like BJ and those guys, I don't know. I have my reservations about BJ. Same with your question. I want to know what happened to that guy and if he took off with the money. But yeah, that's just where I'm coming from. So if anyone can really just answer that question about what's going on with the convoy and what's next, that's where I'm at. So thanks.
All right, awesome. Well, what we'll do is I'm not speaking on behalf of the convoy. I am in no way associated with the convoy. I'm not a spokesman for the convoy. So I'll leave your question about what's going on with the convoy and whether or not there's an organized movement for trucks to come back into Ottawa for the convoy organizers. I have heard the same thing, same rumors that you have. I have heard that there is, trucks parked outside of Ottawa. I have heard that there's more trucks on the way from BC and Alberta. Now, whether or not they are associated with the original organizers, I don't know. I don't think they are. I think what we're seeing now is truly organic grassroots Canadians who are saying, hey, we're on our way. But as for me, I don't officially know. Hopefully somebody else can come on and answer that. As for BJ and his money, and that's my question. I mean, obviously everybody has questions, and we should have questions with any organization, Jeremy McKenzie pointed it out, questions about BJ and Tamara and Daphne, and then Amazing Polly did, and the Angry Albertan did, and they all got ripped for it. But in reality, all they were doing was asking questions and wanting people to look at the situation and be like, hey, we haven't asked questions for 30 years. Why would we stop asking questions now and all of a sudden trust people, right? So hopefully somebody will come on and we'll be able to answer that question about the trucks, officially, because I officially can't answer that. I don't really know. All I know is I've heard the same rumors as you, that there are still trucks parked 40 minutes outside of downtown Ottawa, that there are trucks on their way there. That there are convoys coming from BC and Alberta on their way, that there are people in Saskatchewan. I've seen the same live streams. Whether or not that still applies after the Emergency Act, I don't know. Jerry Cubs, you're up next. Let's see what you have to say. Go ahead, Jersey. You're on.
Hi, guys. Yep. How's it going, everyone? I think that trucker was interviewed today that he was the last truck that left on Sunday. He originally pulled out his truck on Friday in a privately owned truck parking lot. So it wasn't illegal or anything. And then he went back to look at his truck. It was egg. They spray painted the truck. They stabbed his tires. The guy now has to maybe stay. He was from Medicine Hat, Alberta. I don't know who put that on the news today, but now his whole truck's destroyed. And he was the last one. I don't know where the trucks are, but someone was talking about that BJ guy today too. Something about the whole Bitcoin wallets and something that he pulled out two huge deposits in like the last 2 weeks. I don't know the Bitcoin stuff. So just that's my input. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. That's awesome. Yeah, that was Dave Dickinson actually posted that on Twitter. And we have that on our channel. People can scroll up and see that for themselves. He had found that, I think it was $1 million was taken and put in a crypto account. Now, whether or not where that went, I'm not really sure. But that's all on that post. I didn't follow that thread. It's interesting enough that BJ is the one that's trotting out, and yet everybody else is paying major charges, and he's not. So, Murray, you're up next. Let's see what you have to say. Go ahead, bro. Murray.
How's it going? Good. Yeah, I just wanted to see if you could just send me a direct message. I got a couple of little tidbits for you, some videos, what happened in Edmonton and whatnot. And I have my own channel. I've been on Telegram for a long time. Ran multiple channels and stuff like that, help friends with channels, and if you ever need a hand, give me a shout.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that, Murray. Yeah, this channel, when I started it just as a local Grand Prairie thing, and I never expected that it would grow to 13,000 people like it has, and I'm really impressed that it has. And I see the need for us to create our own media. I see the need for us to stop relying on the Rebel News, stop relying on Global, to stop relying on all the fake news media, if you will, and we could do it ourselves. And I don't really feel like going on live stream, but I feel like this is a way that we can communicate with each other, and the country, or North America for that matter, the world, can all communicate with one another and see how we're actually feeling in an honest conversation. Because let's face it, for the most part, when we're posting on comments and threads, you know, it's interrupted and we don't have a lot of chance to communicate with one another, and this is the ultimate way to do that. And for my channel, for anybody who's listening out there, that if you want to get information about your stuff out or your videos, I want to connect the world to Canada. I want to connect your community with other communities. I feel like moving forward in the 21st century, that there's no reason why we shouldn't be as communicated as, you know, the World Economic Forum, if you will, which has infiltrated everything. What I'd like to do is find out one thing I wanted to do today, and I didn't, was find out how much infiltration the Senate is of the World Economic Forum. Because how many people who are listening right now watch that video where the House Speaker is asked about the World Economic Forum, and he dismissed the question, claiming the video and the audio was, you could not hear that audio, yet that audio is clear as day asking about the World Economic Forum. And then we find out that our House Speaker, Mr. Angus, is actually a NDP member and a member of the World Economic Forum. So where do we sit as a country today? We have an emergency act that's been called over a protest on a blockade that's been removed. We have a emergency act that's been called over peaceful protests. I mean, the most violent thing was probably the face painting or the raving at night. You know, it was the most peaceful, unifying thing that there ever could be. And it didn't even just unify the country. It unified the world. Like, there's videos of the world singing Canadian national anthem. You've got people on the Brooklyn Bridge doing a blockade with our flag, an American flag, singing "We're All Canadian." You have them outside the Canadian embassy in New York City, you know, saying "We are Canada, arrest Justin Trudeau for crimes against humanity." And meanwhile, in Canada, they're seizing financial bank accounts of people who donated $20 or bought a t-shirt. And so where do we go from here as Canadians? I don't have the answer. I don't think anyone really does have the answer on where we go. Clearly, the Conservative Party, who has been silent for the last 2 years and has completely sold us out, does not have the answer. They've trotted out two World Economic Forum people for their leadership in Michelle Rempel and Pierre Poilievre. I mean, they scrubbed the internet of Pierre's World Economic Forum membership. So that, to me, tells me that they know that we know that being a World Economic Forum member is not in the interest of Canadians, which clearly anybody who's lived the last 2 years knows that it's not in the interest of Canadians. What I'd like to know, if there's anyone in any audience out there, if you can tell me what you're doing in your community to try and make a difference, if you can tell me in your community what you're trying to do to awaken people, how do you think we go from here as a nation? How do we pick ourselves up after the balloon of hopium has been popped with this convoy? Because let's face it, you know, a lot of people wanted to have some kind of resolve or solution with this convoy. You know, we thought a lot of people had hoped that Justin Trudeau would meet these organizers and justice would be served. And in reality, that never happened, and there was no intention. Maybe they should have, you know, changed their name to the BLM convoy. I don't know if that might have gotten more support from parliamentarians and the media. I'm not too sure. I'm interested to hear what your guys' point of view is. I'm interested to hear what you think about it. I personally think that it was a honeypot operation. It was a honeypot operation in order to, you know, January 6th, the Canadian population and the Patriots who would speak out. So Marius has an opinion. Oh, you've disappeared, Marius. You don't have an opinion. Anyways, I think that if you look at it, what they wanted to do, and John had mentioned it in a 30-minute long diatribe on what was going on, about how, you know, they wanted Canadian Patriots to take over. John wants to speak. Okay, John, I'll let you speak. That they wanted to take over Parliament, and it never happened. And it never happened. And whether or not it failed because Canadians don't do that. Hey, John, how's it going? Canadians, before John jumps in, Canadians, typically, if you actually look at our culture, we have pride in our culture. You know, we had pride when it came to Expo and it came to Olympic events. And my generation, the Canadian generation, pride in, we've been saying that, you know, our traditions, our past, our cultures and heritage has been destroyed and supportedly destroyed by the media. So, come on, John, tell me what you have to say. I think I unmuted you. No, I muted you. No, he doesn't want to speak now. Okay, Martin, go ahead. Go ahead, Martin. So basically, if you have your hand up and I come to you and I call your name, then I'm going to unmute you. I've unmuted you, Martin. I don't know if you're still in. I think what they wanted was they wanted them to override Parliament on January 29th. I think then they could have turned around and they would have been able to sell to the Canadian population that you know, this is a terrorist act. And because the Canadian people didn't want to do that, and the people who, you know, were there to override Parliament were actually caught by the truckers on record, and actually they were on record told to leave the crowd, they let it go on as an occupation. You know, they had to come up with another way. So Jared, I see your hand up that you want to add something to the chat, so I'm gonna unmute you, Jared, and then you can add your opinion on what you think what happened, or another topic if you want. Jared, you're free to speak. You there, Jared?
Hello, testing.
Hi there, Martin. How are you?
Good. You hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm 100% with you on your assessment about false flags and all that stuff. So I was tempted to donate on Give and Go, but I decided against it because it smelled fishy to me. Only way I would support would be in cash directly to anybody in need. So that's what we have to keep in mind. We cannot expose ourselves. Just a little bit about my background. I'm 64-year-old stubborn farmer. I was born and raised in Germany and emigrated in 97 to Canada, so became a Canadian citizen. So we worked hard and actually made pretty good here, and well, that's all threatened, right? And
Do you see the traditions of hardworking Canadians, you know, putting in an honest effort? Because, like you said, you came here in 79, right? Putting in an honest effort and working 97. Towards it. 97. Do you see that gone? Do you see it totally lost? Or what do you see in Canada?
In my neighborhood here, I'm in East Central Saskatchewan, like that is very strong. Like, I was welcomed here and I highly appreciate my neighbors. And so, as far as I know, our area was the least trapped area in Saskatchewan anyway. So don't believe what the media is telling or the official numbers. Like, the rural guys here, they know what's going on, right? It's more like a matter of connecting and sharing views. And so I, for myself, I made up my mind to get slowly out of that mess. I don't know if we ever can, but we have to really stick together locally and just do our thing, right? But I could go on for hours. Excuse me?
I think your point about being local and sticking local, I think, is very important. I think that's what we need to do. 100%. And I think
it's key. I see my counselor here, and then I know in the next town, I know they're infested with Freemasons and stuff. You know, I don't want to go all into that topic. You cover it so nice and very extensive on your channel, and I would say about 90% what you post there. I'm following you a long time. I think when I started following you or became member of your group, you were maybe 2000 or something like that. So yeah, and I really want to commend you what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. And
thank you very much.
But we need to be careful. We need to be careful so we don't paint a target on our back and they take us out. And 100%, to be very careful, like what was done, and I think still I support what the truckers did, and I'm 100% with them, but they were infiltrated. And I actually, really, I'm amazed how the guys or the drivers themselves smelled the red and did what they did at the end, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the end.
It's
not. That's what we should keep in mind. Like, no, I went, like, you know, there was in my area, the last protest going on was Northgate and North Portal. So just south of me. So I went to that meeting and do the different issues. I didn't go, but I was prepared to go. So, but the most impact we do straight at home, I don't back down when businesses like about mask wearing or shit like that. I tell them to pound sand, right?
Yeah.
Well, I might have been a fighter all my life, and as far as that freezing of bank accounts, just keep in mind,
I think that they just
my homeland
froze that. Sorry,
They did that to me 6 years ago already. I still had stuff going on in Germany, where I immigrated from. So that's nothing new. Just keep in mind.
Oh, it's
and
not
I know. Well, I know.
Just to interrupt you for 1 second.
Yeah, they.
What
I had an account still. I had an account in Germany still, and they froze it and seized all my assets back over there in Germany in 2016. So, and well, yeah. After that, I cut all ties. So I told them, kiss my rear end. And at the time, I was already a Canadian citizen. Keep that in mind. So we have to be very careful. Lie low and attack them from a side that will not expect, you know.
Be
and
smart.
When it comes to, you will know when you can hit them and hit them hard. I've done that for years and years. And I cannot go into that here in the open discussion. So, but that's just my 2 cents, right?
I appreciate that.
As far as I know, just a hint with all that VEF and or like, because I'm a German, I read all that Germans and I'm connected to German groups as well because of my language knowledge. You know, it's very easy for me. We had that shit going on in Germany already in the 70s. And I have proof of it. So it's nothing new. I was always, like, I'm born in 57, and I was careful all my life. I've seen it all, right? I looked behind that hit because what I did over in Germany and so on and so on. I've seen a lot, so... Just a reminder, be careful, but be prepared. And I think the time will come to rebuild that once these Schwab disciples get kicked out. But we have to retake first our communities. That's my point here, what I want to make. So, well, I think I exhausted my time here.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you for your kind words about following from the beginning. I appreciate that. Thank you for your support. Can I just ask you one question? What do you see the comparison? Do you see the comparison in Canada today to East Germany? Is the often comparison, the argument is it's Nazi, it's communist. And I think mankind and Canadians, I think we get lost in titles. Tyranny.
I went back to Germany for 6 years, and I had a farming operation in East Germany, and I had good insight with the Stasi and all the former Stasi guys. Like, they were my neighbors. They talked to me. So, well, it's ugly. It's ugly. Don't. Like it was for all works, the killing people and everything. So don't get me into it. I've seen too much on that part. But what I can tell you, the whole setup, like East and West Germany was a setup, just the rest, everything like the rest. I think the whole corporation of Canada is a setup. We're deceived all our lives.
All of us are.
Yeah.
I appreciate your comments, Martin. We're going to see what other people have to say. I appreciate to see if they want to weigh in on what you've had to say. And I appreciate you listening. And it's awesome that you've been supporting from the beginning. Thank you.
Thanks for opening your mic for me.
You're welcome. So I think it's really important. He brought up interesting things about, you know, history and how we've been taught lies. And I think part of that comes down to is that, you know, if you look at how they isolated us over the last 2 years, was to keep us from our grandparents and was to keep us from our relatives who have lived during those time frames, who would give us honest views of what actually happened to prevent us from, you know, figuring it out. And I feel that that's one of the reasons why we've been isolated from our seniors and our grandparents is because these people, they've lived through it. They've lived through this past. And so they've experienced all of this. And when you isolate us from the past, you're condemned to repeat it. And let's face it, you know, today's generation with instant app and YouTube generation and TikTok videos, people want, you know, they have short attention spans. So they don't really pay attention that long a time. So you lose the audience. And so you're not going to have people paying attention to. And plus the education itself doesn't teach anyone properly. I mean, we can, that's a whole broadcast in itself. Marius, you're up next. See what you have to say. I'll unmute you. Marius, you're free to speak. Go ahead. You're there, Marius. So I don't know, like, does it tell you anything on your guys' end when it says that you can speak if I've unmuted you? I'm new to this, so you'll have to bear with me.
Well, I can tell you, Albert, everybody, like, you can unmute everybody if you want, and their mics are still muted. They actually have to push the button until it's green to speak, like, either way.
Really? Awesome. Okay, so what I will do then, if I can unmute everybody, if that's what they wanted to do, and we can just have a big-ass conversation, I have no problem with that. I'm really open for anything. I'm new to this. This is a new idea for me. John wants to speak. I'll unmute John. John, you're unmuted. You're allowed to speak. Go ahead, John. So this is all new. Basically, I just wanted to do this to have conversations with people because I think we need more interaction, real interaction. And we can post shit till we're blue in the face, but let's have discussions with one another. And I think discussions are needed. True discussions. So, John, go ahead. You can speak if you want. I'm actually anybody who has got their hand up on. Hey, buddy.
Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for the website. I love that you're now creating, I guess you can call this a radio show, call-in radio show. And I think you should keep this format. I think this is absolutely brilliant. Once again, Albert comes up with another brilliant idea. This is why I love you. This is why I try and contribute what I can to your channel. I hope, I know I've pissed you off. And I'm sorry for that a long time ago. But you're a real Canadian man. And I appreciate everything you're doing. And as you know, I can talk for hours on end, so I will just end it here. I will.
Wow, bud. I'm. I appreciate that.
I personally believe that what you're doing here is what Toronto did a long time ago. I don't know if you remember Speaker's Corner, where people would come in and just add their comments.
That's music, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
If you can build and do something like that, like what we're doing right now, I think you're onto something. because this is absolutely beautiful. Now, going back to the topic at hand, the truckers, I'm with you, man. I believe it was organized by a PSYOP operation. But as I said, in my 30-minute, what do you call it, diatribe?
Diatribe.
they did not expect the amount of support that they got. And I truly believe that God is in full control of what's happening. And that is why he chose Canada to be the first country to kick off this convoy, because we showed the world how to properly protest and put on a demonstration. And that way is to have a party, potluck dinner, fireworks, celebration, kids playing. It's to show people a better life, a better world, a better city. And I believe that's why God chose Canada. So I'm going to end it there because I don't want to keep going. And a lot of people should weigh in. And I love what you're doing. I love you. I love this channel. And all the best, brother.
I just want to add to what you said. First of all, I really appreciate your kind words. It means a lot to me. And yeah, Speaker's Corner, Pepsi Power Hour, I grew up on Much Music. I'm a Canadian guy. I grew up on YTV, and yeah, I am Canadian, right? So I really appreciate that. I wanted something where we can interact, and I know Telegram, we could reach the world on this. Like, we could have the world in here on this chat, you know. And that's what why hey, Spotify box, you know, to this number, and we can all talk to each other, and we could all empower one another. And that's what I want to do with this. And then I'll schedule it, and I hope people join, and I hope people add their input. And on your input on the false flag, I mean, you got video evidence of them ripping down the fence, just like there was on January 6th with Randy saying, let's go, we're gonna rip down this fence. And like, I like Randy and I like Max as you know, as people to speak out against them. Do I trust them? At this point in time, I'm kind of going back to my 90s X-Files roots that we should all have. You know, Fox Mulder was my hero, and I don't trust anybody at this time. You know, the truth is out there, and I'm trying to find it. That's my philosophy. And you can clearly see. Look, here's the thing. Here's what I know on January 29th. I know that our average view went, our interaction went from like 200 to 300,000 people. It went to 1 million people in one day. So let me say that again. Our average interaction, and I pay attention to our stats, our average interaction was usually, you know, 200K, you know, on our post when you add it all up and after time has been shared. It was a million. So whatever happened that day, we were connected to something that was interacted with 1 million times. That's huge. It's the graph was off the charts. It was explosive. It truly was the Great Awakening. So what didn't happen that day? Well, there was no violence. Like you said, we threw a party. There's free food. And, you know, we can say the organizers were controlled and there were patsies and we were whatever. Where's the crypto, BJ? You know, we can say all of that. But at the end of the day, the true heroes were the people on the street that were partying. It was the people from Quebec that were waving their flag, loving the people from Ontario, loving the people from Saskatchewan, loving the people from, that's Canada. That is Canada. It's not racist. It's not extremist. It's not, you know, for all our faults, and our country has faults. Don't get me wrong. We have faults. You know, we have reserves that don't have water, but that's not the Canadian population's fault. That's the government's fault. That is who controls the purse strings fault. And Canadians and the taxpayers have been gaslighted and said we're extremists and racist. I guarantee if you did a survey and you did social polls and you listed 10 of the top social ills that our country had, and you said, hey, would you rather have money going to that or money going to the Emergency Act and seizing convoy funds? Guaranteed it would be going towards the reserves getting their drinking water. Guaranteed it would be going towards the epidemic of opium overdose that we still haven't talked about in the last 2 years. Guaranteed it would go towards the astronomical mental health problem that we have occurred while we've isolated people, and the government has paid $600 million for the media to push fear on a population. You know, those are the true problems. Instead, we're told that there's these racist extremists, misogynists, you know, white nationalist Sikhs and natives who are at the grounds of Ottawa with their bouncy castles, painting kids' faces, who are trying to occupy the government. Meanwhile, the homeless is getting fed and clothed. The homeless is being looked after. The crime rate is down. And every time you hear anybody that talked about it, the one thing they said was that they were blown away by the love and the unity that they had. Yeah. And right? I think that's huge. And I think, do you not agree that that's huge? Like, I don't live in Ontario. I never got a chance to see it. I'm in Alberta. But do you not think that that fundamentally is why they have to do what they're doing?
Can't let it get to you.
I feel. Do you agree? I mean, the government has been put in a position where he can't meet the organizers because he will have to give in. I mean, and we can all say, yeah, it's a UN thing. It's an agenda thing. It doesn't matter who's pulling the strings. It's an agenda thing because it's in all our local municipalities, right? So I think that is what's important. But I think what we showed, and you hit it and everybody else hit it, is that, you know what? There's such an overwhelming love that we truly, that is Canada, that symbolizes Canada. To me, I don't hate my neighbor. I don't care what religion you are. It doesn't matter to me what religion you are. I want to go to work. I want to provide for my kids, and I want to put a roof over their head. And I want, my biggest issue in life is I want to deal with my kids' complaints, not government bullshit. I'm sure I'm not the only one. So if you got something to say, you know, I'll unmute you and then just hold on the thing to speak. I'm unmuting people as they want to speak, and then you can add in your 2 cents and go ahead and speak. And I'll listen. I don't want to be the only one talking. I want interaction with everybody and hear what everybody else has to say and add your 2 cents, you know, like truly go ahead, Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Hello. I didn't know if it was live or not.
Yep.
I think I have to agree with, I think it was Martin, the German guy that called in. He's from over on the east side of Saskatoon. I think our biggest problem that we have is can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
The biggest problem we have is that 99.5% of the population has no idea what's actually going on. And I think Murray was right when he said we got to start to educate people at the grassroots level, you know. And the same thing, and you said it, that people don't have an attention span. You can send videos to friends and neighbors, and it might be an hour long, and they can't watch it, even though it's full of information. They go, yeah, I watched 5 minutes of it, and then you know my Twitter went off, and I did this and I did that. But I think we really need to start educating our friends and our neighbors at a grassroots level, and try to slowly, you know, people have no idea what's going on. They have no idea how deep this is. They have no idea how far back this goes, and that it was all planned. And they, you know, we're not up against Justin Trudeau. We're up against the cabal.
Just a minute, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kona.
Thank you. You were saying just what I was going to say. I was on the queue there, and you basically said what I was just going to talk about. I spoke with some good friends from Ottawa that felt they were escaping from Ottawa, so I put them up at my place. Intelligent people, and I have a lot of practice at speaking. Well, I'm in sales, and I did a course on If you know the anarchist, he has a course called Candles in the Dark and How to Speak to Statists, and how we all have to learn to be experts in speaking with people. And we come pushing at people, and we have to really get inside of them almost like a therapist and help them with their way of thinking. You're actually on their side, in their head, and help them line up their thinking and just guide them like a therapist. And it was very hard. I couldn't even start, like, where do I start peeling this away? Because they were so misled by media, so indoctrinated, even though they're intelligent people. And I couldn't find a way to, I might have got a few spots where they might have gone, but it's a long, long road. You know, we've spent 2 years probably discovering things as complex as hell. How the heck do you get people to see this? And my main concern, sorry, going too long, I thought it was going to be short. My main concern, the battlefield will be on these people, our fellow citizens. I'm not concerned so much about the government, the police, the WEF, as much as our own fellow citizens. And it's so hard for those that are just, you know, indoctrinated to peel off one little layer after another. And you can come at them with facts, and they're coming at you with emotions and anger, and it's surprising, you know. And then they view us as the angry, dumb people. This is our work, and this is where the main battlefield is.
I totally agree. I agree that our battlefield is the strange is our neighbors that are opposed to us, who the media is spending its time now. Robert, I'm muting you, and you can add in. The media is Robert, you're free to talk. The media has gaslighted these people to hate us. And so how do we get these people? Because you're right. You know, we can't wake these people up with videos. We have to wake them up with understanding of their fear. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, I'm born in Eastern Europe. 50 years ago, I know what's communism. And I've seen what propaganda can do to the people. Moved to Canada, became Canadian citizen eight years ago. But seeing in the last few years what the liberal propaganda is doing, it's pretty much the same what the communist propaganda was doing in Eastern Europe in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, early 90s, when they fell completely. Anyways, I completely agree with Kona. It's not easy get those people to reverse and start thinking differently, because the brainwashing is really strong, and it's coming from every direction, and those people who are brainwashing them and those people who are right now in power, they will not give up. That's my biggest fear. I don't know. I'm praying for the best, but preparing for the worst, because I've seen worst, and I've seen people determined that way, that to go until the end. And we haven't seen the worst of the so-called Canadian government, which is actually just a globalist government in disguise. Thank you.
100%. I agree with you. We haven't seen the worst at all. Hollywood, I'll come back to you. Hollywood, you're unmuted. We haven't seen the worst of what they're going to do. We haven't seen the worst of what they're capable of doing, and they're just beginning. And that is 100% true. And not only that, are they just beginning, but I mean, they haven't even started the gun grab, and that is it. I would almost guarantee that's in a proponent of the Emergency Act, and that's why the media is having us focus on the accounts, so we don't focus on that aspect. But Hollywood, you're good to go. Feel free to finish. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just had Kona on the queue, and they were before you, so you can go ahead and finish your thoughts.
Okay. Well, no, I was just I was just agreeing with Martin that we now, and this show is going to be great, and I think somewhere you have to, somewhere in the near future, whether you do maybe a 7 or an 8 p.m. one, because just for, well, you know, we're most people are available sort of still after supper at this time of the day, right? Because you're on Alberta time It's we're 10-7. We're 10-7 where I am here, but to try and get people in, and because you know what, there's nothing to watch on TV. And if we can at a grassroots level get people onto this channel, and yes, almost like talk radio, and hear and so they can hear some of this, and then say, hey, actually, you know what, I have a place to speak, and I can hear so people, right?
You like what I'm doing here? You like my idea behind this?
Okay, absolutely. I'll go back about 15 years ago, and we used to get it on our radio station here, because I know you said you're an X-Files fan. Well, so am I. The truth is out there.
100%. You know,
and they always 100%. threw out little bites. This guy had a radio show. He used to come on Sunday nights on CKOM out of Saskatoon. And they took him off because he was talking about shit he wasn't supposed to talk about. And it was a phone interview.
Do you remember Late Night with Art? What's his name?
I'm trying.
Yeah. Art Bell, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? The guy that woke me up was William Cooper. You know, Behold a Pale Horse. And William Cooper is my hero. You know what I mean? Like, when he called out Alex Jones for being, if you all want to know, like, YouTube, William Cooper calls out Alex Jones for Y2K. Okay. You have Alex Jones losing his shit that Vladimir Putin, they call Vlad the Terror, is shutting down the ATMs in Russia. And you got William Cooper going, yeah, this guy's a fucking shill, man. Pay attention to this guy. And, you know, and then William Cooper called out 9/11 2 months before it. And then mysteriously enough, he was shot on his ranch in Arizona. And he's not here, right? But those are the people that woke me up. And so here's why I created, why I wanted to do this, and I've been reluctant to do this in the start, is because my biggest complaint, and maybe you guys have all had the same complaint, is that I think I know, you know, a fair amount of stuff, and so when I go to interact with organizations and like Police on Guard for Thee or Action for Canada, I wasn't getting the interaction that I wanted. I found it that don't feed me what you think I want to hear. You know, don't feed me some false hope. Give me some concrete solutions on how we can do this. Cause I think we have some ideas on how to do this. You know, let's unite the people. Let's actually interact with one another. And I just found that there was no interaction. And I like to think that I have a decent idea of why we're here, and you know, and Martin had mentioned, you know, there's certain topics you can't mention because you know, put a bullseye on you, and I won't mention those topics ever. I'll never directly say certain things because I'm not an idiot, but we can talk about things and we can talk around things, and really it comes back down to, do we empower the individual? That's how we get to reach the individual. And so what I want to do with this is I want digital talk radio. Like, let's create something that people look forward to, like, yeah, we got to tune into that, see what they have to say coast to coast. You know, we can get the world on this, really. The possibilities of what this could be is endless. And I hope that people get on board with what I want to do here. And it's not just for me, it's for everybody else out in this country, because I've found that, you know what, we do feel so isolated, and we do feel like we're not connected to people, and we're more connected than we know, and we should take advantage of that. And
we need, Albert, a place, a destination, one that, and if it's this venue, then that's 100% where you can direct people, and all come together and say, you know what, yes, go to Canadian Patriots page, there's the live, it's live talk radio on every night at 7 p.m and people will flock there, because they want to talk. We're humans. That's why they wouldn't let us
gather in restaurants. They wouldn't let us get together. You couldn't have five people at a funeral. They don't want us talking to each other because we share information. Go ahead.
I just want to interrupt you for 1 second. It's not just that we share information. We share love. We share communication. We bond. We inspire. Next, you know what the biggest thing I have found is that when I walk into a place and I see someone without a mask, I have an instant connection with them.
Absolutely.
Okay. An instant human connection with them and a smile and love. I feel love. And when it's all these mask people and they're so, their eyes are so, they're scared. They're so driven by fear and they won't let that guard down. And they think that we're out to get them or to hurt them or we're evil. In reality, you know what? The biggest thing I have found that people is a hug. Yeah. Do you know what it's like to hug a man and have a man who's three times your size cry on your shoulder because he's been isolated for so long? Like, what the fuck are we doing to ourselves? Why are we allowing, you know, like regardless of all the crimes that have taken place, just on a human emotional level, what have we allowed to happen to our kids, especially the kids who have speech therapy problems? You know, Marius, you were going to add something to jump in. Go ahead and jump in. Like, this is open dialogue. I want people to add in their opinions on this.
Yeah, guys, I've been listening a little bit here. There, my background is Romanian. I'm Canadian citizen and like the German guy, I understand very well what's going on. Most of the people here in Canada has no clue what's going on. This is not about the Canadian government. This is a world agenda. I've been telling people 2 years ago, if we wear the mask, then we give up our freedom. And they said, oh, you come from ex-communist country. This is Canada. Will never happen in Canada. Look, 2 years passed by. It's worse than communism. Communism, it's already in Canada. It's already in Canada. And guess what? They're going to come back full on us. They're going to come back stronger. Who? They. The agenda. And by just sitting here and, you know, having chit-chat, it doesn't help us. It doesn't help us because the majority of population still doesn't believe what's going on. Look at the truckers. When the truckers tried to pull out something, which was a good idea, where were the majority of population? Chit-chat. Oh, good. It's good. They do this. They do that. They do that. No. If they have support from us, from people like me and you, they would have been on the street right now. In 1989, communism collapsed in Romania from a pastor. A pastor took it on the street with 10 followers. From 10 followers, the whole city raised up. And within 24, 48 hours, the whole country was under the revolution and the regime collapsed. That's what we need. We need revolution.
So you think, based on your experience in the past, that the only way to overcome this is if we just take the streets continuously?
Exactly. I give you another example. Just do a research out of Canadian media. Do all those chats, even on Telegram. There is like a German, Romania, Russia, Belarus. The government collapsing like 3 months ago with the green passport. The government imposed 24 hours. If you are not vaccinated and don't have the green passport, you cannot go to school, you cannot work, you cannot do nothing. Over 1 million people in Romania took on the streets of Bucharest, capital city, went to the parliament building with torches to light up the building. Within 24 hours, they withdraw the law and the government collapses. Guess what? Now, this Sunday, they have a trucker all over Romania. They copied the Canadians. They copy us. Canada was number one, right? They broke the ice. Now it's all over Europe. Mass media doesn't show that. On this Sunday, it's all over Europe. Romania, the farmer with their animals, the tractors, the trackers, everybody is gonna gather in the capital city. You have to go wave after wave after wave. Never stop. If we take a break right now, you know what they do right now? The governments, they regroup. They studying us. Okay, they study. It's a psychological warfare here. Okay. How they arrested the pastor of Solidarity Movement here in Alberta, right? He's in jail. Pastor Artur. Yeah, he's a buddy of mine. He's a Polish guy. He understands what's going on because same as Romania, Polish people, they suffer 45 years under the communism cartel. So we understand if you don't go wave after wave after wave on the street, you know what we have a saying, you know. You bounce the iron when it's still hot. If you let that iron to get cold, you cannot bend it no more, right? So what the government does right now, they're not stupid. They're not stupid. They give us a free air, a little bit to breathe. Okay, the mandates is gonna release a little bit, the restriction, this and that. No, they're not. They're playing with that. They buy time to regroup and they come harder on us. Somebody posted
a telegraph.
I'm sorry?
100%. And actually what they're going to do is that, now this is my thoughts, what they're going to do is actually, just a minute, Martin. It's actually worse. Is what they're going to do is the government, see, the provincial government, the one of the biggest problems in Canada is the ignorance, not only to world history, not only to geographical politics, but to civil politics in Canada, and that has shined through like a bright light in the last 2 years. So one thing that's been really interesting about what they are going to do is all the provincial governments are announcing that there are relaxing restrictions, okay, but it's bait and switch, because while they're announcing that they're relaxing restrictions and they're removing it, the provincial governments never put in restrictions per se. It was all enforced by the corporations. So when the corporations enforced it, it was the corporations and not the provincial government. So what I think they're going to do, and because you're right, they did lull them into the area, and you're right, Canadians, we do need to be more consistent, and that is going to work against us, and that's one of the reasons why I started this, is so that we look, basically here's the way I see it as we've just watched a major national movement fall on its face. We have just watched every person come out of their home after 2 years of hiding in their home, go back to their home thinking, holy fuck, I can't do anything. We've just watched the government say, okay, you guys want to pull this shit? We're going to come after you financially. We're going to come after your insurance. We're going to come after your real estate, and we'll make it impossible for you to work. So now what do we do? Now what do we do? Well,
excuse me. I have asked a good question. And I appreciate that. Now, what can we do? I have an answer for that.
Go ahead.
Every public servant in Canada has an indemnification bond, and some of them are private and they have surety bonds. That means if they break their obligation in their oath sworn position as a fiduciary, that means they have a duty of care put upon them by taking that oath. They have to sign a register, and there is like an insurance policy upon them. If any one of us should complain and say what they're doing offends my comfort and my inherent ability to remain free from aggressive government that would try to steal my freedoms. These freedoms are indelible. They're inherent, but only if you're willing to stand up and complain to the comptroller of the Treasury Department of either your province or the federal government and say, this man has breached his oath-bound obligations. He's violating the Royal Style and Titles Act, where it's there listed Defender of the Faith. He's violating the Oaths of Allegiance Act, where he swore he would be faithful, not faithless, and to be truly allegiant to that Royal Style and Titles Act, Defender of the Faith. He's violating the Statutory Provisions Act that would say that he can't do anything that would violate any of those freedoms so inherent and indelibly written. He's violating the Emergencies Act that contains the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights that holds these freedoms high over every other law that's written in Canada. So by doing all of that, he's breached his obligations as a public servant and violate 180 of the Criminal Code. If you go and read it, it's very, very clear and quite simple. If he should make you feel uncomfortable by breaching his obligation to ensure your comfort is protected, and it uses the word comfort, then he's violating 180. If he should interfere with your ability to gather together for a moral, social, or benevolent purpose, he's breaching 176 of the Criminal Code. And if he should use any intimidation to hold you responsible for exercising your freedoms, well, then he's breaching 423 of the Criminal Code. And in all of that, encouraging others to ignore those freedoms and those laws, he's breaching 465 of the Criminal Code that is conspiracy without the word theory behind it. It's part of the Criminal Code of Canada. So when you have all of these things in front of you and you don't complain against his indemnification bond, it's like we're the masochists and he's the whip boy.
And we're enjoying it. Okay, and then I got a question for you. That's really good info. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's my question for you on that, on the surety bonds. Is could you not also apply Criminal Code Article 245, which is injection of a substance that could kill you? And how would people get started? Because I do know for a fact that that was used in the United States against school boards who had policies and mandates, and those the mother won. And it worked. It worked.
That's Bonds for the Way with Mickey Klein. Yeah, she's the lead in taking claims against surety bonds. You're right. And with regards to 245, don't forget 246. That's treason. 245 is along with administering a noxious substance. So there's many, many sections of the Criminal Code here that are quite on the face of them being violated. And when you bring this forth to the comptroller for the Treasury, he's the one that's responsible for all these indemnification bonds. And when a complaint of this nature in an emergent situation comes forth, there's no time for dilly-dallying in the civil courts that are controlled by a dark-hearted fraternity that'll protect their brothers and sisters to the point of lying, deception, and even murder. So when you have that type of history, when the predominancy of the judiciary is involved and in bed with that, and many of them are indeed members of the World Economic Forum, we have to say, hold it a second, there's a position that's put in place, time held for over a century, that we must be insured against these people. That's why they put in place that Royal Style and Titles Act, Defender of the Faith. Now, I'm not trying to preach to everybody here and tell them you have to exercise faith in order to be saved harmless, but indeed that is the basic principle of the Christian monarchy that we hold as a government today.
Okay, so can I speak?
Yeah, go ahead, Connor.
That's a lot of good detail. Okay. Details. I want to zoom out a little bit here. Once again, Romanian speaking. I'm not Romanian. I mean, to our Romanian speaker, Marius. I have a friend who's Romanian too, and you remember standing in bread lines, long bread lines, and sometimes getting to the end, and there was no bread. Canadians aren't used to that. We won't understand it. So going back to where the battle will be won is with the hearts and minds of the average Canadian, which is a tough one because we've had a very comfortable life. There was an interview, I think, on it was on Peak Prosperity, as well as Joe Rogan. I think it's Matthias Desmet, the Belgian sociologist, speaking about there's a good 30% of the mass of population that will be completely hypnotized, will buy the entire narrative, and you can present them with the most clearest facts on paper in front of their face, and they won't take it. That's our problem with Canada. Romania, the Romanian had good points there, but I think the Romanians are much more aware of bad government. We have this illusion. I wanted to go back. I was trying to post on the site. Of course, we can't post that link to Candles in the Dark, where he has a course on how to speak to statists and help to gradually, we can become experts at speaking to the hypnotized. I'll just say it out in person, or maybe you can find it and link it. It's called, the website is attendcandles.com, and it's called Candles in the Dark. I found it very, very good. We need to be experts at this to try and sway our average Canadian to what's
what really is happening. It? What is it?
Candles. It's called Candles in the Dark.
Candles in the Dark?
By Larkin Rose.
Okay.
The website is attendcandles.com.
Attendcandles.com?
Yeah.
Attend as in attend a party?
Yeah, like attend a party. Attendcandles.com.
Attend candles.
And I just did a general search, Candles in the Dark.
Larkin okay, yeah.
Rose. It cost anybody, a little bit, but I think it was worth it.
Anybody who's got any ideas of things that we should throw on the channel, the reason why it's controlled, obviously, is because it would be full of crypto chat, and I don't want that. Nobody else wants that, right?
I completely agree.
And so if there's any point in time that anybody wants to put anything on the channel, there is... the channel where we share stuff to, or the group chat we share stuff to. But yeah, we just threw it on right now. We just threw that link that you were talking about on the channel right now. But at any point in time, anybody can message me, and I'll throw whatever on. Like I want open, as long as we can have open dialogue, I'll push the limits as long as we can until they take it from me or kick in my door. It's whichever comes first, right? Communism is coming, so I will just, if you want to speak, just hit your microphone for green, and then I'm watching the queue, so I'll pay attention and I'll call your name, and then I'll let you guys
okay
go.
Okay,
I'll let Martin go because Martin has been trying to speak for a while. Martin, go ahead.
I just want to throw in a few points here, like on the action level locally. I just sat down with neighbors, like we're planning on, well, to make a change in our local RM council next election comes up, stuff like that. So get proactive, get these old whatever geezers out who are against us, stuff like that. I think it's the same applies to school boards, because I have no school children anymore, that doesn't apply to me. And then I wanted to make a point, especially just as a reminder. Well, I grew up in Germany, and the neighbor village my mother grew up, there was a preacher, a pastor with the name of Paul Schneider. And everybody, if wants to know more about it, should Google the preacher of Buchenwald, the concentration camp. So, well, he couldn't keep his mouth shut, and he ended getting killed in that concentration camp, right? So a few years ago, when I was still in Germany, I was at the synod, in a synod meeting, a very old guy from the same village that had been pastor. He said, well, he could have kept his mouth shut and he would have been still alive. That was a little bit an eye-opener for me, right? Keep that in mind. So much for speaking up. And another thing I wanted to say, just keep your faith, guys, and our only salvation will be with God. So stay steadfast, and if anybody is interested in why I am fighting my own fight many years ago, Google June 16th, Singing of True North 2, and then look up which federal minister resigned after that. That's all I want to, that's my hint here. If you need to know it again.
What is it?
Singing of the True North 2. Singing of the True North 2 in June 16, 2000. Well, by the way, it was my daughter who got, which got killed in that accident. So that really kicked me off the fight with so-called authorities. And just my final word on this here, respect needs to be earned. That goes out to all law enforcement. Okay. So now I keep quiet.
Wow, thank you, Martin.
That's awesome information, Martin. Martin, do you have any information on the Nuremberg Code 2.0? Because I am following that. My parents escaped communism Poland and came to Canada in, you know, 1980, 81, I think. And now it's funny. Now my mom wants to sell the house, and I'm looking to get out of here now, too. I don't know. So can you tell? I think.
Where are you?
I'm in Windsor, Ontario, but the Nuremberg 2.0, I think they're hosting it in Poland, if I'm not mistaken.
No, Germany, I think there's some, these guys are like, I'm following now for almost 2 years, the Rainer Füllmich and all these guys. I think they set up their, it's basically a mock court or grand jury somewhere in Germany, I think. It's not in Poland.
Okay, but it is only
in
trial right now. They're not gonna go forward with that, or does anyone have
more? No, my understanding of it is that it is a presentation to a grand jury to the International Criminal Court, which has no legal bite.
Yeah, that's my big question. Like, it was nice to hear what that gentleman said a couple, was it about all these, what was it, about these sovereignty bonds and stuff. My big question would be, who enforces that? Like,
good question.
That's why I have my big doubts. I lost all my confidence in
the only way.
In court system and everything, and saying that, I'm totally aware. I was years ago back in Germany. I was 4 years a lay assessor, which means is a lay judge in criminal court. So I know these proceedings, and the way I look at it, doesn't work that way anymore.
Let's answer that question.
Yes, it's a very good question. Like, who is it that oversees? In the United States, surety bonds are overseen by various private insurance companies backed by insurance underwriters. Well, it's an insurance industry. In Canada, the Canadian government, either provincially or municipally, it indemnifies whoever it is that's a public servant. That means that the treasurer, where all the so-called money is, puts up a fund that if any of these public servants, while they're engaged in the good faith activities of delivering the statute, if anybody should sue them, that they're harmed, then the province, the federal government, or indeed the municipality, will save them harmless and pay their legal bills. Now, if they exceed what this good faith is by willfully being blind to the law that's put in place to protect us, in other words, they're absolutely breaking the law, then there's no good faith that could be observable because of Section 19 of our criminal code here in Canada. It says ignorance of the law is no excuse. So there's your willful blindness. That flies out the window. So the treasurer has what's called a comptroller, whether it be provincial or federal. There's a comptroller. Now, the comptroller for the federal government is Rosh Hupp. He's the guy in charge, sitting back, waiting for somebody to bring forth a legitimate complaint, citing the various freedoms that are being stolen and trod upon, quite literally by an RCMP horse, that is beyond the force of law that would be necessary when statistics prove there isn't a pandemic, when statistics prove the PCR test doesn't work, when statistics prove that the vaccinations represent more of a threat to the people of this country than non-vaccinations do.
I have a question for you on that. Okay, so now, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is so when you're seeking remedy on this bond for them to show that what they're doing or what they're implementing is not a violation of these criminal offenses, and of course they won't be able to do that. My question is that, if my understanding is correct, the reason why it works is because once you go after that, in order for whatever you have put on it, whatever claim you put on it or have issued on it, is the civil onus is on the individual person that you have put it on, which is why it's worked in the school boards in the states. Is that correct? Is my understanding of that correct?
Yes, it is, because that once the complaint is laid, they have to prove good faith. Well, good faith would mean they're following the statute, code, and regulation, and that they have a duty and obligation to know that that statute, code, and regulation cannot be exceeded. They're exemplified by Section 19 of our Criminal Code in Canada. So once the comptroller gets a Freedom of Information request demand, and the Freedom of Information request is downloadable from the Government of Canada or each province under FOIP, F-O-I-P. Once you put that request in for the indemnification number and the reasoning and cause that is behind the request, in other words, you've got to have a reason. Once you've shown that the law is being violated, and even the attempt to bring in the Emergency Act is ignoring the obligations of that international covenant on civil and political rights that's written into the preamble of that Emergencies Act. So he's really, you know, biting off his tongue by invoking the Emergencies Act and not notifying every member of the international community as to his reasoning and legitimate cause for doing so. And that's written right into the wording of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, as I've already mentioned, is in the preamble. Now, I know this sounds like a lot of stuff, but basically what it boils down to is if you're feeling uncomfortable because your freedoms that you had, you know, 2 years ago are now gone, well, then that's a breach of the criminal code and these international laws put in place to save us harmless. And a claim up to the comptroller, like in Rosh Hook, in the federal government's name, once he receives that claim diligently put forth in a format that's unavoidable, whether it be by registered mail or by a fax machine or some other method, that by hand service where a paid process server is, to give him the obligation. There's that freedom of information. And there could also be exemplified by a demand for accommodation. And for those of you that want to find this out, I'll contact him at any time to share this with him, because I got a lot of stuff to share. A demand for accommodation is part of the Canadian government law, right there written in 180 of the Criminal Code. If you're demanding of them that they accommodate your faith and beliefs, as exemplified in the Royal Style and Titles Act, their own oath of allegiance puts it upon them that they can't step over the line. If your faith is exemplified in that word freedom to do whatever you want, as long as you're not harming man, woman, or child, well, if they're impeding upon that, that's discomfort. And right away, their bond is forfeit, because their main obligation when they put up their hand and they take an oath to that woman, styled as defender of the faith, is to ensure that your faith and your ability to practice it is saved harmless. So that's why this is silver bullet time. There's no excuse that they have when the overwhelming amount of evidence exists that they've broken the law and are acting beyond the statute, code, and regulation put in place to secure our freedom.
So your understanding, and I'm just following along trying to get an understanding of what you're saying, is your understanding that basically, hey, look, they've broken obvious sections of the Criminal Code of Canada. It's pretty evident to anybody who has watched it that they've broken obvious sections of the Criminal Code of Canada. In order for them to take public office, they have to have a serenity bond, which insures them against any wrongdoing that they may do while holding public office. And this bond holds them accountable. Now, as part of taking public office, they have a duty to keep the faith of public office, and they have a duty to uphold the laws of Canada while maintaining that public office. Under the Criminal Code, and I can't remember which one it is, I have posted it myself too, but under the Criminal Code of Canada, by violating these criminal codes, such as malfeasance, such as, you know, pushing a substance that could cause harm, such or up to causing death, they're violating Criminal Code of Canada. So your understanding and idea is that the only way that we're going to overcome this, you know, let alone taking over local boards, local school boards, being involved in our city council, which we don't do enough, being involved in our school boards and our library boards and our police boards and making sure that we're a part of that, is making these officials, passing these laws and rules accountable for us. And we'll look for the video and the information, and we'll post it on the channel so everybody can read it, and we'll post links so people can look at it and do it, look at doing it in their own communities. And because he's right, we have to look for silver bullet times on what we're gonna do as Canadians, and how we're gonna overcome. And you know what, Canadians aren't accustomed to breadline. Go ahead, Cole. I'll be quiet. You can speak.
Oh, hey. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for letting me chime in real quick here. Why do we just use one why stick with one silver bullet? Why not use them all? I'm sorry, but this monster we're dealing with is pretty damn big. So utilize all fronts. To the individuals that come from communist countries, what you have said and brought to the table is extremely valid. I would highly consider that, those actions, and implement that as well. Overload everything peacefully, obviously. Throw the law at them. What's the term I'm looking for? Civil disobedience. Even if it comes down to if you're a tradesperson, try to organize a trade strike. I've heard that that's in the works. Now the tradespeople stop doing their job, this country comes to even more of a halt. We kind of need to suffer along the way. The one individual, who was it? I can't remember. Said something about us Canadians have had it soft for too long. He's exactly right. We have. We have had a very comfy upbringing, and if you think about our history, we really haven't had to fight for any kind of independence of our own. Not like the Americans. It's not in our DNA per se. It was more like, in a roundabout way, kind of just given to us because we were, you know, controllable or something to that effect, right? And that's just my personal opinion. I'm not a historian. Other people would like to argue about the fine details, but essentially what I'm getting at is everything you can think of, use it, aside from violence, of course, because that's what these tyrants want. That's been established. That's why they've allowed the police to act as aggressively as they have. They're allowing it. They're trying to antagonize everybody into shooting at them or something. That way the media can spin it, and all those that are still asleep and still buying the narrative will eat that up too. And then those individuals will become more bloodthirsty. That's what I fear. They'll be okay with rounding up people that are deemed terrorists because they won't be able to see it. And they'll keep them in their comfy little shell. Now, if everybody, like these mass, the convoy, the truckers, get tradespeople in there, everybody just, you know, hit those capital, like wave after wave of just constant protests, or do the whack-a-mole thing where all these big protests just pop up everywhere. And when you think you got them gone, they just pop up somewhere else to, you know, and it's just nonstop and everything grinds. Yeah. Shelves should get empty. People should go a little hungry. You know, who knows? Maybe people start to wake up to and start asking questions. What happened? What the, you know, F happened here? So that's my take.
I think your take is right. I think that a good movie for everybody to watch is Battle in Seattle, and they talk about overriding the system and moving around. So about a year ago, I attended a conference put on by Open Society and some big pharma shit. It was online and a university. And they talked about how they were going to manipulate the population into accepting vaccines. And I think it came right after the heels, if I remember correctly, when Robert Kennedy was removed from Instagram. And one of the things that they talked about on the Zoom conference was about flooding the market. We have to flood the market with information. We have to flood the market, flood the market, flood the message, flood the message, flood the message, flood the message. And I feel that one of the things that we seem to get distracted by is human beings. We're like mice, right? We run around on a wheel and we see one thing and we're just focused on that one thing, and that's all we're focused on. And the social engineers know that. But what we need to be able to think outside of the box. So food crisis, we're not used to bread lines. We're not used to people waiting in line to get, you know, food, and then getting up there and there be no food. So what are people going to do when they come to that situation? This morning when we did this initially, we brought up getting to know your neighbors in a community garden. And what is the benefit that that do? Well, that allows you to meet your neighbors and allows you to barter and trade with your neighbors, so you can offset running out when the bread lines run out. The serenity bond is a good thing to start too. And so should one person just focus on that? No. Like, I think the biggest problem that we as Canadians and Albertans is we're all waiting for somebody to come along and grab our hand and say, here, I've got the perfect solution. And, you know, the people that have commented earlier on today from Eastern European countries and escaped communism, they're right. Nobody here has a clue. We've taken for granted our freedoms. We've been able to travel freely. We haven't had to show papers. We haven't had to do any of that. And I think that is it's not just a detriment, but it has allowed the situation. So I've unmuted some of the people. So now you're able to speak. Hollywood, you're able to speak. It's allowed the situation to be where the overall population is controlled by fear. And our problem, as much as it will be the state, the Canadian people don't understand that for every, you know, 1,000 people or 2,000 people, there's maybe one gulag brown shirt that's going to come and take you away. It's your neighbor that's going to rat you out, that's going to phone the police on you and say, hey, this person's doing this, this person's doing that, and that's what's going to come and take you away, you know, or whatever it is. It's going to silence your ability to speak. And so I think, you know, we need to be able to communicate with the neighbors that, go ahead, Niles.
Just think here, and I think every city and every village, every town should have groups that are in, that work together in defense of Canada, especially in times like these, where they
so like
help each other out, where they just help each other out and focus on the protection, the defense of Canada.
It's so like guardian angels type thing.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Something like that. That'd be nice. So we meet everybody in the area. They're all they share information, resources, and then they can all work together with everybody else across Canada. I think that'd be wise.
I think that that'd be very wise. And I think that comes back down to building communities, right? I think in order for that to happen, I think that one, you know, we have to do it ourselves. Militias are illegal in this country, so we can't call it a militia because, well, raising funds for convoys is illegal. So we have to do it smart. And I think that in order for, you know, us to do that, one, we have to look at, everybody wants to point to revolutions and rebellions that happened, but all revolutions and rebellions started with the political aspect, you know. With Ireland, with the IRA, it was a political aspect. They were seeking independence, so they had a political wing of the IRA. It wasn't just a bunch of rebels sitting there trying to blow shit up and take over the crown and free Ireland. They had a political wing. And, you know, throughout history, same thing with the Sons of Liberty. There was political aspects. They had a parliament. They had, you know, a Congress in which they declared independence, and they petitioned the king and they petitioned the crown, and it fell on deaf ears. So as individuals, we've had all these parties and all these groups, you know, provided for us, and we've stayed away from being involved ourselves. And really what it boils down to is we're watching 40 years of apathy and Canadian ignorance, and it's come home, and it's ugly. It's really ugly. And so we need to, all of us need to be the leaders in our communities, and we need to inspire our neighbors, and we need to reach out to our neighbors, and we need to show them the ways, and we need to prepare ourselves. And personally, you know, we could talk about all like the World Economic Forum issues and all the big issues, and ultimately we know this is a policy of genocide. You know, they want to kill people, and they're going to. This is a policy of democide. They want to kill people, and they have been. This is a policy of economic collapse. They want to destroy the supply chain, and they're doing it. This is a policy of going after, you know, national patriots, and they're doing that. So we know what they're doing. It is communism. It's worse than communism. It's a technocratic tyranny based on a digital control, which is way worse than anything any communist country had to go through, because they would control every aspect of our lives.
Can I just say something? They want to microchip our bodies. They want to microchip us 2026.
What's that now?
They want to microchip Klaus Schwab in 2016. It's on BitChute and also Rumble. He's the leader of the World Economic Forum. He openly said that he wants to microchip citizens in 2016. He said that in 2026, that's the goal. And of course, there's a whole list of all the people that are on that within the Canadian federal government. Justin Trudeau, Christina Freeland, Jagmeet Singh, and many others are involved with it. So we need to demand transparency from our government and get them to tell us what is their involvement with them, and for them to release all the documents of their involvement with these people and all the donations.
Luck with that.
It's never going to happen.
Justin Trudeau was a part of his, a member of his Young Leaders Initiative, which was basically a cult compound where they took people who were being groomed to assume leadership of a country and brainwash them. He also famously talked about how he wants to wipe out the entire white race, reduce the population to around 4 billion people, and make the majority of the remaining race of the, quote, Japanese and Chinese descent.
Okay.
He also talks about how he's inspired by the Talmud, and he believes that it is the destiny of Jews to rule the world and enslave everyone else.
So, on few points. One,
he is a member of the Rothschild family.
Via his, I think it's his mother. It's either his wife or his mother.
No mother. It's mother.
His mother. Okay, so you brought up a few interesting points. First of all, World Economic Forum. Christina Freeland is the deputy leader of the World Economic Forum, and she's the deputy prime minister of the Canadian government. Which one do you think she has allegiance to? I'm going to guarantee it's not the Canadian government. Second thing, the one thing that I would suggest on getting the information on whether or not their infiltration with the World Economic Forum is there was Freedom of Information Act requests that we could request. We all know, every one of us listening has to know by now that the World Economic Forum has infiltrated everything. And we could hammer that one home.
Well, blue that, in the that's face. Called treason. So where is the military doing?
They're not that's doing anything.
It's called Operation Silent Defender. It's been in place for quite a few years. It's the most highly secret operation in Canada.
Well, it's well known all over the world right now. It's not secret anymore. That's called treason, right? They're foreign agents controlling, running the show.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a minute. And I want everybody to understand this, is it's not treason in Canada. And here's the reason why it's not treason in Canada. Because it's not against the Crown. You need to go and look at treason definition in Canada. In order for it to be treason in Canada, it has to be against the Crown. What we're talking about is high treason, which is completely different. It's a higher offense, one. So we need to stop calling it treason, and we've got to call it high treason, which is what it is. I want SM had something to say, so I wanted her to come on and say what she had to say. What I want people to do is just, if you want to talk, because I want to get everybody on and everybody's opinion, because I think this is going great, is just hit that microphone that you're going to talk. And before you speak, I'll call your name because I'll watch the queue. And when you bring stuff up, such as links or anything that you want us to post on the channel, I have another admin here, and it's being posted on the channel as you mention it. So if you, there's things you want us, you know, that you think other people should look into, let us know and we'll post it as we go on the channel so people can go and look at it. I want to utilize the fact that this is interactive. I want to utilize the fact that, you know, we can interact with one another and bring up points. But it's really important. Oh, go ahead, SM, you're free.
Okay. I don't want to alarm anybody, but I don't know if anybody watches the Canadian Prepper, but he received a phone call a day or two before they moved in on the convoy. And he said he received a call from Red Cross and they were asking him for all his MREs. And he asked, was it for the trucker convoy? And they wouldn't tell him. And they said, no, it wasn't for that, but they wouldn't tell him what it was for. And then he said he received another call from them. He said he didn't offer them help, obviously. He said he's only a small business, so one, I'm not giving you all my stuff, and what are you guys up to, kind of thing. And he said that he was speaking to someone from Red Cross again, and that they had a real sense of anxiety in their voice, and they were looking for medical supplies, armor gear, and they were trying to resource out to all kinds of small businesses. So they're preparing for something.
Ukraine.
So I just wanted to tell everybody because it's scary. He's on YouTube. You can look him up. He's called Canadian Prepper. He said, I have to tell everybody. I'm probably going to get in trouble for it now. He said, but I had to warn everybody, right? So
I saw that video.
Yeah.
He did too. He did two videos. That is his business. That is his business. So, I mean, with anything, right, we have to take everything with a grain of salt. Ultimately, we should all be prepared for anything at this point in time. We should be prepared for anything to go. There is also a video of a woman coming on saying that the internet's going to go down on the 24th for 10 days. And, I mean, so that could happen as well, right? There's been a lot of stuff that's been said over the last years. And apparently CNN has just released the fact that the Queen is dead.
The Queen is dead?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
buddy of mine just sent me a message from CNN that said the Queen's dead, that she just passed away, that CNN released it 3 hours ago.
I guess it's only so much that Nina Combe can do for you, huh?
Did she
or after the Emergency Act?
What's that?
Did she die before Trudeau did his little Emergency Act or after? Is the real question.
She's still alive. She's never met them.
It was just announced today. Actually, I'll post it. True. I'll post it right now on the channel.
Many people are saying in the United Kingdom
that a lot of people debunking it saying it's alive.
There, I just posted it. CNN breaking news. One's on the left. CNN
fake news.
So, I mean, again, that's not me. I don't trust. I think she's been dead for a while, personally speaking. That's just my opinion. I think that everything we've seen with her has been a hologram. But John brings up a really good point. Was she dead before that was done? So how would the Emergency Act receive royal ascension? I mean, essentially, we still are a parliamentary democracy, are we not? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But that's breaking news. I don't know if it's anywhere else because I'm kind of just focused on, you know, the queue in the chat. So
what about
go ahead, Ninja Matt.
What about the Red Cross thing, the prepper, you know, those supplies for an effort in Ukraine, because Russia's going there right now and seizing a province or state there the size of Maryland right now, and he's already signed into law that he's going to control that area, and so apparently he's sending in troops for peacekeeping missions.
So he's
probably going to seize that area.
Okay, well, on Ukraine, here's my thoughts on Ukraine, is that Ukraine is a distraction from what's actually happening in Western Commonwealth countries. Who really gives a shit? Right? To me, Ukraine is that where Burisma has all their pipelines in that area? Because it seems, I bet you if those areas were seeking independence from Ukraine, and that's where Burisma and the gas was, and, you know, all of a sudden they were going to make deals with Russia. Yeah, no wonder that Biden's trying to, you know, say Russia, Russia, Russia. I'd be pissed too. But that's a distraction, because the real issue is the genocide and the democide that's taking place in this country, you know, that's being allowed, and the outright legal discrimination. I mean, the war is here. When the El Salvador president says, hey, well, they're distracting you with this bullshit, this is the real war, and people still don't pay attention, and this is the real war. I mean, the fact that you've got gas coast link workers or whatever it is working in their work camp, being attacked with axes. I mean, that heavy equipment doesn't just get damaged like that. No. All the security cameras were turned offline, which is a red flag for me. That screams false flag. And nothing was done about it. And yet we shut down the province of Ontario and Ottawa, and we attacked these people and, you know, fired tear gas at them, which you're not really supposed to do. I believe that's a violation of some criminal code, because it's poisonous gas.
Well, this whole
gas.
Fucking thing is a violation of, you know.
It's all illegal. It's all
criminal. Yeah, it is. Yeah, all 100%. Of this shit is.
Like, here's my issue. Like, so in Alberta, we had Daniel Smith interview Jason Kenney. Okay, so this is where the controlled media comes into play. Jason Kenney admits on record live that Alberta is cycle counting the PCR test at 43. That immediately right there says that the whole thing is fraud, because Fauci, Mullis are all on record saying that anything above 25 is fraud. You can make a peach, you know, come up with whatever positivity you want. It should have ended right there. He should have been held to court right there. You have all our public health officials basically running shadow governments against us, and they're all unelected. And that's a huge issue. And we have a communist problem.
Have you not seen I know everyone's probably seen it, that video where there was a voice, there was an MP was talking about how he was asked by his voters to ask the MPs to disclose how many of them have ties to the World Economic Forum, to George Soros, to Klaus Schwab, to that whole thing. And they're like, oh, well, we lost you there. Oh, no, looks like we lost the signal, you know.
That's the indemnification bond problem right there. They all know they're bonded. Even the speaker knows he's bonded. And to make this conspiracy carry, they had to shut it off.
Yeah, what happens when someone has allegiance to a foreign power against their own people? What do we call that?
High treason.
Fascism.
Yeah. That's not fascism. Fascism is defined as when you put one specific group of people above everyone else in your country. For example, if you have a certain group of, it originates from Rome, where they had the people who were descended from the founders of Rome. They were given special legal rights and status over the people who came into Rome afterwards. That's what fascism is. Fascism is not just totalitarianism. Fascism is a system where one group is of a higher legal status than every other group in that country.
That's the members of the World Economic Forum, and they're doing exactly what Mussolini was drawn and quartered for.
I think eugenics is not just killing a bunch of people. Eugenics is the discipline of the study of how population genetics and public policy interact with one another and the application of those findings to the population. You can technically exercise eugenics without killing anyone. That's called negative eugenics, and a lot of libertarians support it. And then you could also exercise killing a lot of your own population, producing the opposite of eugenic effect, and that's called dysgenics.
I find it funny that was exactly how those comments said, oh, we can't hear you, because I called into my local radio station when they called and asked about the convoy, what we thought about it, and I went in Windsor, Ontario, handed out food, water, Gatorades. I called in, I said, watch, the convoy's going to grow. This was right when it began. And then when I started kind of mentioning some truth bombs, they quickly shut me up and said, oh, we're losing you. Oh, we can't really hear you. And every two friends call me right after, like, dude, we heard you perfectly fine. I'm like, wow. Right? Because the second you push their narrative or you challenge their narrative that they don't accept, they just shut you up. Right? Pretty sad.
It's not sad at all.
I think this boils back down to what Kid Carson was saying in his video when he quit. And he said, look, he said, for the last 2 years, I've been forced to lie to everybody. And I think what we're seeing now is we're seeing who has a conscience and who doesn't. We're seeing who is willing to stand for something and who's not.
The Vancouver host?
Yeah, the Vancouver DJ. So when he announced that he was leaving, he specifically said, you know, I could sit there and talk about who has the best hot dog in town, but after a while, you know, the real issue is this digital ID that they want to control our kids, man. You know, and that's how his podcast started. And I think what we need to understand is that we've all been forced for the last 2 years to either to toe the line, to stay silent. You know, we've complied or not complied, or we've tried to support our families, or, you know, Martin, it was brought up about not putting a bullseye on our back. I mean, I put one on my back, but a lot of us, most of us have chosen not to put one on our back. And I think what it boils down to now is within our communities, we have to decide, what do we want? What do we really want? What do we want to do moving forward? And so, you know, we do need to get on the sorority bonds, and we do need to push for protests over, you know, that are every day. And not just protest in the intersection of Convoy, we need to figure out who's running public health in your community and go protest outside their home. Because you know what? When we were protesting outside their homes, they were pissed because they were being noticed and they hate that shit. They have to be individually held accountable for what they're doing. And
that's what we are doing in our town.
Well, you know,
we are going to the vehicles and honking every evening.
They were willing to tolerate what was going on in Chaz up until they started showing up at people's doorsteps.
Right. And then they listened and then they got their changes, right? So, and they'll tolerate so much. I mean, but we have to be prepared, whatever it is that the individual has to do. And I'm not advocating for anybody to go and do one thing because they'll be at my door and accuse me of insurrection or incitement. And I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is we as individuals have to look at our own communities because each community is different. And we have to figure out what is the best way in our community we can reach the people. Because we all know the major issues. You know what I mean? Like we can sit here and we could all discuss the infiltration of the World Economic Forum until we're blue in the face. But while we're doing that, what are we doing to benefit our communities? And so my goal, my hope is with this conversation and doing this radio broadcast and getting it bigger as we can get more communities and more involvement. And these people who stood on the side of the road, who came out of their houses after 2 years of, you know, being isolated and driven by fear, realize that they're not alone, that there are people that love them, that there are people that, you know, want to hear what they have to say. And I think that's how we reach them is, you know, by looking at our communities, because we all know the federal issue and to fight the federal issue is one thing. But in order to take our true power back, we have to be there for our communities. And I liken it, it's the saying is that, you know, in times of the most dire need, God will wake his most broken warriors. And I think this is this time. And I think it's what we need, what we all need to do is look at our local communities and what were you going to say?
I just wanted to say you're right about God giving us the inspiration and the spirit to stand up in the light of the fact that all of those freedoms he gifted and granted us in Genesis 1:26, if we don't stand up for that dominion, well, it's quite obvious then we're bent over and we're not defending it, so that it's easy to take somebody over. If you lay down, you're going to get walked on. So our whole purpose, I think, as a group of men and women, whether it be in our smaller groups or larger communities, if we focus on the liabilities of those that were put in place to protect us and save us harmless, we didn't elect government to beat us up and put us inside a concentration camp. We elected them to protect us. So I think our purpose and focus here is a dedicated group of men and women very concerned about the present climate that we're faced with is to do whatever it is that we can in our strongest diligent ability to focus on what we think is best. And whether it be, as you know, the broad spread of things, there's many things all of us can do, whether it be putting up posters, renting billboards, or standing on the corner with your placards or phoning your MPs, your senators. As long as all of us continue in doing this, like I focus on the bonds because that's the end of it for their human rights violations. The guys that write those laws are they're underwriters for the insurance company. So that's why the bonds are like right up at the top of the stack of what can protect us. But everything else, whether it be, you know, 10 miles of trucks lined up standing for their freedoms, or one guy standing on the corner with a sign saying honk, all of it in a combined effort, as we've seen taking place like a domino effect around the world, are beneficial. So I want to thank everybody for even being here, because they're all concerned and we're all doing our bit as much as we can. So thank you all.
Thank you for everybody joining in. I mean, I think this has been a wonderful experience for me, you know, Go ahead, Hollywood.
Well, I just want to jump in, Albert, really quick. Chris Barber got home this afternoon. He's back in Swiftcurrent. I'm gonna try and track him down in the next couple of days. I have spoken to him a few times. We had a celebration on Saturday night in Swiftcurrent because it was organized 2 weeks ago that he was supposed to be home. We had 400 people there, but then he got arrested and he never made it. And this is just to go back because he started all this. And I met his parents and people that know him. And I don't think the convoy was a psyop, but I think once it got to Ottawa, it did get hijacked. And I think it got hijacked by Dichter and by Dagny Pollock. I believe that. But I don't think, I think Chris Barber's idea of the convoy, I think God had his hand on that. And I think that, you know, he picked a trucker. He didn't pick a lawyer. He didn't pick a doctor. He didn't pick a politician. He picked a trucker and said, you know what? I want my freedom back. And I'm going to drive to Ottawa. And I think it got 100,000 times bigger than he ever imagined.
Well, you know, I think that goes back to what we said earlier today, that the whole event was bigger than what anybody planned.
Absolutely.
I do believe it was 100% infiltrated. I can't speak. I don't know Chris Barber. I've never heard of him prior to this event coming out. Like, I'd never heard of him. I've been involved in the truth movement, the freedom movement, on and off for 20 years. And
absolutely. But he was just a guy that just woke up one day and said, you know what, I've had enough of this. And he said he dreamt up this, I'm going to take my truck, and if somebody wants to follow me, I'm going to go to Ottawa, and I'm going to stamp my feet and make some noise. And that thing just mushroomed into what's going on around the world now.
Oh, so, I think you got something wrong. That kind of stuff doesn't just happen unless there's going to be this desire to do something like that. To begin with, I think that he just tapped in to something that was already festering in people's heads, and he kind of gave it an outlet. He thought up a plan. Oh,
absolutely.
If he wasn't there, some other trucker probably would have come up with something similar. In fact, it was probably not just his idea. He was just the figurehead to promote it because he was a really good public figure. And it was probably just a bunch of truckers sitting around, him included, and they came up with this idea. It's like, what if we did a convoy? Because my experience with groups like these, because let me introduce, I worked with different movements and stuff like that in the past, including most recently with the People's Party. Is that grassroots usually come up from something bigger. And I think the whole idea of building this guy as a leader, I think they missed the point, is that these kind of things, they really don't have leaders. You can take the most influential guy and get him to completely repent and go out against the movement that he had allegedly started. And everyone's going to be like, what the fuck? No one cares. It's going to be like when they got the guy that made Pepe the Frog to say how bad the people who were posting Pepe the Frog were. They didn't care. Because it touched something. That's about it.
Well, absolutely. But I'm going to make an attempt to get into in the next couple of days, Friday, Thursday or Friday or Saturday, and actually go and sit down with him and feel him out a little bit and say, okay, Chris, so now what? You know,
I think,
or is he just done? Does he just want to go back to driving a truck
I don't think he's legally allowed to do anything. I don't think he's legally allowed to speak about it.
But at the end of the day, can the federal government muzzle you like that?
Yes. If they threaten your
on a mischief charge,
You gotta
they
look
can
at it
do from... anything they want right now. The Emergency Powers Act passed.
So here's what
everything is legal.
Here's what I think happened is
it hasn't passed the Senate yet.
Here's what I think happened is I'll just interrupt. Is that the federal government announced changes to FinTrack. So it doesn't matter what the federal government announced for the Emergency Act. Okay, we're all looking at the Emergency Act as the end all and be all, but what's not being focused on, all right, is the fact that when Trudeau said, "Yeah, we're going to put forth the Emergency Act before the House of Commons, and we're going to put it for a vote," which it passed the House of Commons. Chrystia Freeland came on and announced instant changes to FinTrack, which is the banking and regulation rules. So here's my thing on Barber, and he won't, I don't think he'll talk to the media, is that he's been silenced. He's been muzzled by the government. The government has said, we will let you out on bail, which would back up your trucker aspect that he is just a trucker, okay, which is why none of us heard of him. That the government said to him, okay, we will let you out of jail if you promise to go home, not access social media, not go online, not talk about the convoy, not talk about your involvement. Now, if you do, we are going to prevent you from insuring any vehicle, prevent you from working, and prevent you from supplying or looking after your family. Now, I don't care how much you love freedom. I don't care how strong you are. But when you're faced with that and spending time in jail, and the government is saying to you that you're going to put your family first if you have a family. And that's just fact. Most family men will do that. I would do that. I'm a married guy. I have kids. I would do that. You know? So I feel that is the situation. Now, I think when it comes to the convoy, I think that, you know, people need to understand. And I really hope people understand this, is that no movement or opposition comes out of nowhere without it being allowed. So in saying that, was the convoy a complete and utter psyop? No, I don't think it was. Was it bigger than what they thought? Yeah, I have to go back to what I've said and what John said and what you know other people have said continuously, is that it was bigger than what they ever expected, and it was not what they expected. It showed love and compassionate and understanding and pride, and it showed that we all had that for our country, and it showed that we weren't violent. We're not a violent person, we're not a violent nation. You know, our government maybe, our RCMP definitely are. And when it comes to the RCMP and the leaked chats, interesting enough, maybe we'll get into them next time. But I personally feel that the chats were leaked on purpose, and I believe they were leaked to Jeremy McKenzie, but I believe they were leaked on purpose, and that was so that we would hate our police. Because we've spent 2 years defending our police, and we know that our police should be doing something. And it's not necessarily the rank and file constable who's at fault. It's the staff sergeants of the detachment that it's fault. It's Brenda Luck who at fault. It's the corrupt higher up executives that, you know, turned a blind eye to the missing women in Vancouver, East Vancouver, for so many years, and turned a blind eye to the Highway of Tears, and turned a blind eye to the serial killer that's in Edmonton, and all these things that are taking place that we all know about. And I think that the chat was leaked so that we would turn around and you know, be outright infurious that this is our police, and how can they, when in fact it's not a representative of our police, it's a representative of the individuals. And I realize, you know, that's a controversial statement to say in itself, but it's the truth. And we need to look at all the psychological warfare that they're trying to implement against us. And so we know that the convoy was hijacked, but the most beautiful thing about the whole thing was the people hijacked it back, you know, from what? Go ahead. You were going to say something, Parcelet? I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Paraclete. Yeah, I was just going to say, if you could put me in your contacts, I can share information with you, because I'm banned on Telegram because some of the more authoritarian chats, in other words, they were controlled informants, they found out what I was posting and they banned me.
Oh, really? Huh.
Actually, I am banned on Telegram from making posts in public groups because I was posting about how to claim bonds.
That's interesting shit. I post about how to about the bonds on our channel. I've noticed that occasionally I get my account gets reported and I don't understand why. And I mean, it could be because, you know, some supporters of some fake queen report my account. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is, the reason, but I do. My account has been reported, but I'm still here. And my Telegram channel is not on the Google store and not on the Apple store. So hopefully it'll stay on, you know, for as long as they'll allow it.
Can you talk
I'd like
that?
To see it grow. I'd like to see it. Like... Go ahead.
Can you talk about the bonds? Can you talk about the bonds?
Yeah. And they're basically, you know, you've got a car. You want to go travel, so the general public says you need to be insured in case you bring damage to somebody or their property. So now we can see what insurance is about. The driver now is indemnified by his insurance company. Should he get in an accident, they pay up, but then they're going to come after him if he's at fault. So this follows through to any public servant or regulated business that deals with the public. There's usually some statute, code, or regulation regarding their activities with the public. That makes it so that they have to have some kind of bond or indemnification in place in order to qualify to get the license, etc. For instance, an armored car driver, most people know they must be bonded. That means they're indemnified for harm or damages while they're on the job carrying out their duties in good faith. That good faith aspect is the most important part of their ability to be saved harmless. If it turns out that they're making us feel uncomfortable, restricting our liberties unlawfully without merit or due cause, all of a sudden, all of their huff and puff is just showboat. It's just they're doing it, but they don't have any lawful background, and they're literally bluffing us right in front of our eyes on a national affair. This is taking place around the world, the bluff. And the guy directing this bluff, Klaus Engelschwab, well, all you got to do is look at his lifestyle. There's photos of him on the beach flaunting his sexuality. It's kind of gross, but this is a reality that we're faced with when we're saying, what's why this immoral standard? What happened to morality where we would never do this to people? Well, his lifestyle is a marker for where this is going, where pedophilia will be soon lawful and the guy's ruling will be the alphabet gang. That's going to be our ruling government unless we stop it by focusing on these insurance bonds, policies, indemnification, all these fancy words they put up there. They're basically a trust. When they put up their hand and they take an oath to this woman style as defender of the faith, and she is still alive, I double-checked, that means that they bind themselves to that moral standard and obligation that you are to be saved harmless, and they only have any idea that you're being hurt is if you're loud about it and making sure you got witnesses so that everybody knows they're being made aware, the alarms are going off, I'm being hurt. You have an obligation to save me harmless. And when they refuse, they violated their oath. Go ahead.
So, is that what the UK did?
That's what the American did. The American on TikTok that you see that goes towards the school board and puts the bond on the school board officials. And the school board officials had to remove the mask policy towards that. That's what he's talking about, this sorority balls. So I want everybody who's listening, who's interested in this, to get a pencil and paper, because I'm going to ask some questions of this man, and hopefully you guys will get an understanding and an idea of how to do this in your community. So first question, we'll start with the low ones, hey, school boards.
Hey, Albert, just before you do that.
Yeah.
I want to ask Paraclete another question just related to what he's talking about, because actually, Paraclete, I've seen your videos on YouTube, on the alternative YouTube. You talk about the writ of mandamus, how that's used in a court of law, and how that, I don't know how that ties in with the bonds, but from what I understand, that's to hold the courts accountable. Is that a feasible way to kind of figure out what's happening, like to get these issues through a court system? Is that a feasible way of actually doing it?
Yes. Well, we're talking about the multiple things that we can do. It's like a sandwich. You get somebody reputable, knows how to speak, maybe not alpha male, but certainly knows how to speak. And they go into the court with a writ styled in the nature of mandamus, and upon an emergent nature with a demand for accommodation across the top of the writ. What that demand for accommodation does is it changes all of the statutory code and regulation and policy that the court normally operates under. And it brings them into awareness that their service that they provide to everybody is now given a flag that you're a victim. You're being harmed and you're being damaged. So they have to have an ear to this. That's what the mandamus thing is. And the demand gives them power.
I just interrupt you for 1 second before you continue. This is based on Canadian criminal code, is it not? Mm-hmm. Like, just to clarify for everybody that's listening, that what you're talking about is about using bonds, because what is happening is a violation of criminal code that's taking place, and no accountability within the court system. And this is how one would look at getting resolution, setting criminal court tort law precedent, or making people accountable, because what they're doing is violating criminal code, and you're referencing criminal code via these bonds, are you not? Paraclete, are you not referencing criminal code with all this?
Yes, and the common law aspect of tort. So you got quite a sandwich going on here, all based in the honor of their oath on this Royal Style and Titles Act, which is statutory. Now, if they breach any of that statute, well, what they're trying to do in their so-called code and regulation, well, they're violating their oath, and that oath was put there to ensure that they wouldn't do what they're doing, which is, it's so blatant, it's almost embarrassing.
It's beyond. But you're talking about, and I just want to be clear before anyone else, you're talking about them violating their oath of public office, correct?
Their oath of allegiance is the bonding nature that gives everybody the ability to go forth with this nature of mandamus application. The reason I say nature of is a mandamus application died, I don't know, in the 18th century, but you bring forth the same ability in the nature of mandamus, saying we have an emergency here, they're ignoring their duty and obligations in law. This needs to be an order from the court saying these laws exist and you are commanded to obey them. You can show this to a policeman, a politician, a municipal member of council, and now whatever they're doing in their arrogant puff and pose is shot. It's gone. You've got the court order of mandamus saying the law exists, and should they breach that in front of witnesses, well, now that's trying to overthrow the government. Breaching a court order.
That's actually true, basically.
That's what? I was eating a Kit Kat. Sorry.
Sorry. What were you saying? To add to him, that would be treason.
100%.
Yes, attempting to overthrow Her Majesty's government would be the key phrase there. And many people are misconceived what Her Majesty's government means. One has to go to the coronational ceremony record to find out exactly what that means. When they presented the Lively Oracles of God, means the 1611 King James Bible, to her and stated, "This is for the life and government of Christian princess. This is the royal law."
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
What's to stop them from ignoring all this and just doing what they want to do anyways? What would the consequences be?
Brilliant question, because we've all seen that they usually do ignore. So that's a very poignant question. So the way you overcome that is you get witnesses to observe that you're making this complaint, you're bringing it to their attention, you're demanding their accommodation, and you let them know, "I have witnesses observing. If you don't dispute that I have the lawful ability to do this, and you do agree by not letting me know where I've gone wrong, I'm going to take my witnesses and give them a notice to you that they're aware we have an agreement, and you now know you're of an obligation to save my faith harmless," or whatever your claim may be. "And we're going to post the notice in the newspaper within 3 days. We're going to give you 3 days grace, and we're going to post the notice in the newspaper as to our agreement, as to what was exchanged and your obligations to save us harmless." That's so, what changes everything, because now you've got a public record of it in the newspaper.
Okay, so there is an article in the newspaper, and they're afraid of that, and so they will do what you... Well, here's a question. Why would the newspaper want to publish this notice? Like, what would be the consequences for
them? That's a very good question. You're asking really good ones.
It reminds me of a story when I read The Romance of the Three Kingdoms. The idea was that whoever held the imperial seal had the heavens with them and was functionally the emperor of China. And so this one minister, after the emperor was deposed, had got his hands upon the imperial seal. And so according to all of the law and all of the religion and whatever, he was the emperor of China. Yes? Except nobody wanted him to be the emperor of China, and he was just promptly killed, going against all the laws of China at the time, going against the will of heaven itself. Nobody cared, because in the end, China was not ruled by an imperial seal. It was ruled by a sword. And the guy that took over China was Cao Cao. And the reason that Cao Cao took over was because he was the best at killing people.
Civil war.
So to avoid that, that's part of history. If we let a tyrant take over, and Trudeau certainly is fond of Chinese history, he stated so many times. So again, back to, if you have a large fire.
You get what I'm saying?
Oh yes, I understand. So this, I'm trying to encompass all these things, that like the mandamus is one side. You have your tort application in common law on the other side. You have your criminal reasoning, why he's breaking the criminal code. That's another aspect. All of these three put together give sound reasoning and foundation for the armor-plated bullet of silver to hit the heart of the vampire when you make a complaint to the comptroller's office about these public servants that have sworn an oath to ensure that your freedoms are saved harmless. Now you're saying, no, they're not. We're victims now. We're claiming that we're being harmed, and we've got a whole bunch of us here, 10 or more sort of thing, right? What that effectively does, especially once you post a notice, an agreement has been reached between the private men and women acting in public offices in the province of, full text of the notice may be seen at da 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 blogspot. That gets posted. We've done this many times, and it's extremely effective.
The problem here is that I'm looking for physical motivators, right? For example, if you steal, but no one sees you steal, then mm-hmm. you get to walk away with a free item, regardless of what the law says. But if you steal, but you're found out to be stealing, but the cops are for some reason not interested in arresting you for it, you still get to walk away with a free item.
I think ultimately the issue at the end of the day is has the serenity bonds worked? Well, it's worked.
I mean, it's ultimately force. It's ultimately force. It's physical force that causes people to have to be incentivized to do something.
Not getting a paycheck is quite a force, and that's what happens
you can get people to not pay them. Because ultimately, if you appeal to a higher body, for example, the shopkeeper appeals to the police officers, hey, this guy stole from me, you know, arrest him, put him on the books. But the cops aren't interested in arresting you. So you still get to walk away with a free item. Well, what if you get the people above the cops to come in and say, oh, no, this guy stole, he needs to go to jail, right? But what if those guys don't want to? What if they want you to get away with it? Well, then you still get away with it. And you can go up and up and up the chain. All you need is just a conspiracy theory to go up and up and up the chain as well. If you got it all the way up to, for example, the Queen or all the way up to the Rothschild family, the World Bank. So if you go all the way up to the entire government and royal family of England, and in fact, all the banks of all the Western countries in the world, if those people at that top are totally okay with them doing harm to the people below them doing harm to you, well, shit's out of luck if you're looking for anyone to hold them to account.
Yeah, that sounds like, you know, give up, put your ass up in the air and pass the Vaseline type speech. That's not what we're here for. We're here to encourage people to do something that they can do, not to talk about what's going to fail and what if and Chicken Little stories. No, we're here to help people. And that's what I was endeavoring to do. I'm sorry if I interfered with your theoretical discourse.
I'm not. What I'm saying is you need a plan B. You can't just rely on this.
So
I've already told you the three plans in place here, but you seem to have ignored them.
So if I could just add something real quick, I think I do understand what Adam's trying to get at. It's, I guess, really it's uncertainty, because we don't know if we go to court and if we put all this, if we have all this, all these laws behind us, and we use those in court. We got the writ of mandamus. We've got a way in law to keep them accountable. What's to stop them from not obeying those orders? Is there anything that can stop them?
Nothing.
Arbitration. Hold it a sec. We still have arbitration in Canada, and it's already stopped the New Brunswick government from enforcing their mandates. Remember that. Arbitration exists in Canada, and it's enforceable by a sheriff.
So ultimately, the fear, I think I understand. So the fear is, so if we put all our eggs in one basket, you know, are we going to get fucked again? And the answer to that question is that you're following legal recourse. You know what I mean? Is that you're not pulling something out of the sky and saying, will this work? Is you're putting the rule of law to application, and you're not pursuing in a court asking them to pursue charges. You're going after the public bond that they all hold in order to hold that public office. And that's what the difference is. And that's why it has removed mandates in the States, and it has removed mandates in the UK. And it's been done on a local basis. So you would go to your school board, and this is where it comes back down to, it's really important I think that, you know, you bring up force. So what is force? Well, is force necessarily us getting guns and taking on the government? Well, no, because they have fucking dues and they can create earthquakes and they can create weather storms. So is that really how you're going to fight it? No. If you actually going back and look into, historically speaking, how George Washington beat the British, he never met them head on. Okay. He was always two steps ahead of them. He was always trying to outthink his opponent. And we have forgotten how to think for ourselves and to be inspired by ourselves.
The biggest failure I see on the right is that we do not understand strategy. Half of the people that I speak to who are amongst the conservatives, the circles that I've been in, don't understand that the enemy who wants to hurt us doesn't give a shit that their actions are hurting us. They say, oh, well, imagine if we did that to you. You wouldn't like that. It's like, no fucking shit. They already know that. That's why they're doing what they're doing to you. They want you to hurt.
I want to say that I went to, like, my son's daycare. I went with notice of liabilities. I emailed my son's. He's 4 and a half, going on 5. You know, I emailed the principal, and every response was, we're just doing what we're told. You have to contact the Ministry of Education. Our hands are tied. And even daycare tried to make me sound like an idiot. Well, you're the only parent that's, you know, standing up for his kids, right? And I had 700 pages, documents, journals, studies.
Gaslighting you.
Yeah, she tried to make me sound like a psycho. Where do you get all this time to do all this research? How did you learn all this? And it got me absolutely nowhere. Like, I know they have business licenses, because if you own a daycare, so can you exactly, like, come after her business license for not?
Why can't you? Why can't you shoot up? Why can't you civilly go after them?
Well, I didn't know if I had to get these. Like, they were just notice of liabilities off of a lot of those websites on Canadian Freedom. And
well, where are you? Because I know in Alberta we can sue.
I'm in Ontario. You would look at
civil law. What I think we need to understand is, one, is that to go about the normal standard way of the court system is not really going to get us anywhere. In the last 2 years, has showed us that, right? Petitions and emails and letters, although they annoy the fuck out of everybody, it's not going to get us anywhere, and because they don't want to hear it. And like you said, they're going to pass the buck to the higher authority. Always. Always they're going to do that. It was the same thing in Grand Prairie with the city council. They passed the buck to the Ministry of Health. And that's all. They're going to pass it up. So
yeah.
What the bonds aspect of it is that you're not passing it up. They're going after the individual.
Perfect. Beauty. I actually, I work for Step Energy Services, so I spent a lot of time in Grand Prairie, buddy.
Did you? Yeah, Grand Prairie is beautiful. It is. Yeah. I love this area. It's highly underrated. Highly underrated. I think fundamentally, you know, is that the use of force. And that's something, one, I can't openly discuss the use of force on here. Cause like I said, I want to keep going. I don't want to get busted for incitement or insurrection. Obviously, I say nuts all the time. If you follow the channel, I say hashtag nuts. I would suggest you look up the historic preference of it. It involves General Patton in World War II. You'll understand why I say nuts. It's in the Band of Brothers as well. They talk about nuts and in Jericho, the TV show, which is a good show to watch.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to add to that. You're talking about getting in trouble here on Telegram. I know that's a lot of people's fears, and I think now's the time. Like, if we're really going to do this, like, we have to be very careful, because this is not something the government wants us to know how to do or to actually put the steps in place to do. So if we're going to go through with any of this, if we're going to find people who are coherent in law, if we're going to find people who are good public speakers and good prosecutors in court, then we're going to need to find a way to keep this off of any system that can be surveilled. And I know that the communication service that I'm trying to start up, that's what that can do. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say this now as a suggestion that if we're going to talk about this further, we should be on communications medium that cannot be surveilled. I think that's very important.
Hear, hear.
I agree.
Please add me to your contacts.
Please add me as well.
So okay. What we'll do...
Web 2.0 has always been a obsession of mine since the 80s.
Okay, so if you click on my name, Freedom Communications, I'm actually on the group account right now. You can actually go in and you can see what I'm trying to set up for people. So far, I don't have very much interest. And I've said that's the reason why there's a poll in this group. It's just to gauge the interest. If I'm not getting enough interest, I'm not going to put any time or effort into it. But
I've already answered the bottom answer to your poll. I'm very interested.
Good. So, but I guess it's the reason why I'm saying it right now is because this is a great application for what this service provides. And I just want to keep people aware that Telegram, there's absolutely no way we know what Telegram's doing beyond the encryption from our device to their server. Mm-hmm. You don't know what happens beyond that point. I mean, law enforcement could be listening in on everything we're saying right now and everything we're sharing, and the people involved, they could have IP addresses, emails, phone numbers.
I'm going to interrupt you there for a minute. And here's what ultimately I think everybody needs to understand is that in order for anything to happen, you have to do it by yourselves, and you have to do it locally, and you have to do it offline. The whole premise of this and what I want to do is every time I do it, we'll have a different topic and we'll talk about things and we'll inspire and hopefully it'll grow and we'll get more people involved in different topics and we'll talk about, hot topic issues and stuff. But ultimately, anything that anybody wants to do, in terms of these bonds or in terms of, like organizing anything, it won't be through me and it won't be through the channel and it won't be through anything that has a name site. It'll be everybody doing yourself. So moving forward,
nothing to do with Albert. Right. Nothing.
Right. Because I want to be here. I don't think I do any good in jail.
It would be better to do. Yeah, it'd be better to. I understand. When I talk about physical incentives, I'm not talking about holding a gun to someone's head. This trucker convoy was a perfect example of a physical incentive that did not involve force. But there's other ways. The most famous way is a boycott. You get a bunch of people and you get them to just boycott different businesses, goods, services, whatever. The other idea is a general strike. You get a whole bunch of different people who this country basically relies upon to keep going, and you get them to just say, we will not work, we will go out and we will hold up signs together. We will simply withhold our support up for the system until the system is willing to hear our address of grievances.
I love that. I think that would work, and it did work in Alberta and you've seen BC when it came to the tow trucks, right? Every tow truck company in Alberta said, nope, none, we're not hiring our trucks. And then the RCMP went to BC and offered four times the going rate, and they even turned it down. And then all those tow trucks in Ottawa, they were all spray painted. The labels were all covered. They're terrified, right? They're wearing ski masks. That's when it actually worked. But, I think there's too much individualism. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, the problem is that we're very atomized. We're not very good at making these group solidarity things. In game theory terms, we have a problem with acting as collective, as teams.
So
we are the kind that can't trust one another to play ball with one another. This other thing that I want to bring up is called the wisdom of brutes, where a famous example is Alexander the Great. He comes to the Gordian knot, and everyone, people from miles around, had all decided to try and pick at the knot one way or another to try to figure out how to do it. Alexander just took out a sword and cut it. The wisdom of roots is the wisdom of children, basically. It's looking at the obvious, direct, and very visceral realities of something, and finding a surprisingly simple solution. Another example is there's a game of musical chairs, right? And you all have to sit on a chair. Well, one person figures out there's nothing in the rules that says you can't move pick up a chair and move with it. So he picks up a chair, takes it to some other place, and sits down on it. You know, when the music. Basically, the idea is just okay. To do the thing that's very unexpected, but is actually very obvious.
Always, right? Always think ahead. John, you were going to say something.
I think that's the main thing, is you need to be unpredictable.
Yeah. So I'm just going to eat poutine while other people strategize and make little clubs and do their little thing, which I encourage, but I want no part of it. And I don't want Albert involved with anything of that sort. And I don't think he wants to be involved with anything of that sort, because what he's providing for me is a stress relief, just having a chat, just having a channel. Mm-hmm. So anybody who wants to do their little war games, they can do that on their own. Don't involve me. Don't involve Albert.
I'm talking about the need to be unpredictable. The need to do the thing that is not thought about.
Uh-huh. And what makes you think I'm not being unpredictable right now? No, I'm not finished. Now, going back to what Paraclete was so elegantly putting, and I actually want to hear more about the surety bonds, because Christopher James is kind of doing the same thing, what Paraclete is talking about. But ultimately, he's come to the realization, which a lot of people in here have come to the realization, that you can't ultimately go to the court without police backup. And that is what he's asking for. Christopher James currently has over 300 police officers. I believe he has soldiers, he has veterans, he has firefighters, and they're all banding with him. Now, he's looking for close to at least 1,000 police officers to go with him to the courthouse and access the public courthouse. Because right now, if you go into the court, if you file your papers, you are still under their law and their system, and you are using their judge to cast a judgment on you, which is the wrong approach. So I want to hear Paraclete's opinion on this, and if he's actually been following what Christopher James is doing, because I fully support Christopher James and everything he's doing. And I truly believe that if we do not have good police officers on our side, we can't actually do anything in the court system.
You're absolutely right about that, and there is a growing number by the day of police officers that either have spent, you know, their whole lives or over a decade in the force, and they're seeing a deviation from that duty. So what Christopher James is doing is basically the common law position of tort. If I man,
well, they don't want anybody to hear that.
Pardon? Pardon?
You have to say anyways, that again. You totally broke up.
Sorry.
Before you start, I just want to say that I myself have no affiliation with Christopher James or common law or surety bonds or any of that. I think it's a fascinating topic. I think it's one that's not discussed. I myself have no opinion on it. I don't want to do that to anybody. I'd be willing to allow Christopher James to come on and then to do a Q&A with him. I'd be willing to do a Q&A with anybody at this point in time, because I want to go back to what John says about, you know, relief. Like, it's just great to be able to talk, and it's just be able to, you know, have ideas.
So, Pericles, I'd kind of like to ask a question.
Just a sec.
If it's okay, I can answer the question there about what Christopher is doing in these police, in line with our ability to make a claim.
Yes,
because
yes,
he knows about the Sherwood bombs too.
Okay, just a second. I just want everybody to listen, that while we're having this discussion, that my channel and me have no affiliation with this. And I mean, fly at her. Fuck it. This conversation is interesting. So I've unmuted everybody to feel free to add your questions or, you know, to add your opinion or ask questions about it. I just wanted to be clear that I have no affiliations with anybody. I want people to be able to have their opinion. I want, you know, subjects that's not discussed, because I know, you know, the Constitution now, or those people don't have an avenue, and I'd like to give them an avenue. I basically want to run a radio show where people come on and present ideas to the population that's not heard, and people can ask them questions. So go ahead. What's the difference between Christopher James? What's the difference between what you're doing?
Well, first of all, I don't believe there's any difference for anybody that's standing against oppressive authority. We all have the same motivation. Now, some of us may, you know, if you've got a problem with something, you might want to bury it, so you're using a shovel. Other people might use a more peaceful means, like paper. Some people want to use the fire hose, like put out the fire. And then there's other people that say, well, hey, who's responsible? And did they have the lawful ability to do what's taken place? And so what Christopher has done, he's complemented the common law position of, if I'm the damaged party, then you're the wrongdoer, and I get to lay a claim against you. And he's been very effective of moving that concept forward so more men and women can see it. He's also on to this indemnification surety bond that exists and encouraging people to focus on that. Although there's that big black cave, fear of the unknown, nobody's ever been down the surety bond or indemnification bond. Those are big words, kind of trail. So the mind and the subconscious is a little bit resistant to, well, what do we do with this? Should we? Is this another lost cause? The sky is falling type of reasoning. We don't know about it, therefore we shouldn't bother trying. Let's go back to the argument. Now, this is the noise of the world, and there's lots of it, to keep you involved in the argument, the entertainment, and if a solution like a surety indemnification bond comes along, you can be certain you're going to hear a whole bunch of noise to digress from those people that know exactly what you're talking about, and they don't like the topic.
I think the best thing to do is to come at this from as many angles as you can, and I really, really strongly support you in your initiative, Pericles. It's I'm going to be honest, a lot of this is going over my head. I'm going to have to do a lot of research into it. If you got any good resources, I'll be happy to look into them. But, you know, I'll just usually look into it by myself. But I'm very, very pleased to hear that you've found some way of being very making potentially very effective charge. I really appreciate it, and your willingness to educate us.
It's basically the common denominator we all have. If you have no reason to complain, well, whoever's in charge isn't going to know about you unless you speak up. And if you find yourself in fear of speaking up because you're going to get stomped, or in fear of affiliating with a certain group of people, you're going to get in trouble. Now this Emergency Act hanging that guillotine over us saying,
if you want to associate with XYZ and give them a thumbs up, we're going to cut your license, your head, your hands, whatever it is. And that is a real fear that exists. And that, again, is perfect evidence of the fact that, well, why are these indemnification bonds in place? Primarily so we don't live in fear of the people that are put in place to govern us. Now, not to do it with a whip and a heavy hand, like back in the Dark Ages and the Spanish Inquisition. They're actually put there to save us harmless, and that's why they're allowed to operate with these insurance underwriters backing them, and that's who wrote the human rights legislation worldwide. It was the insurance underwriters, so they would make more money, and they wouldn't have to pay out on public servants that breached the statute, code, and regulation and rights that were put in place to save people harmless. And that would save them a lot of money, because there's a lot of abusive public servants that breach the law all the time. But it seems that there's not been much education to help people so they would know how to make a claim. They figure they got to go to court and fight tooth and nail with a crooked judge just to make a complaint. And that's not true. There are risk management telephone numbers across Canada for municipal, provincial, and federal that govern Treasury and the ability of Treasury to send those indemnification bonds harmless. They're going to mitigate the risk. So if before it gets up there, they can stop it by saying, you're a lunatic, or, well, listen, we want to settle. Will you take some money and go away? So unless we explore these avenues that are, like I say, they've been in place for well over a century as the solution to if you're harmed by anything that the government does. So indeed, there are many other things we can do. The truckers brought us to a brilliant awareness of what solidarity can do. Lech Walesa was famous during the Polish Revolution, where all the workers united together and shut down the government. And this has taken place in a half a dozen other governments in Europe. Right now, it's taken place because people are dissatisfied. Now, over there, they don't know about the bonds. Here we do know. We've got the ability, along with what Rick James is doing with that common law approach, and I believe he will approach those 1,000 police officers for a strong voice.
So, yeah, I got two things to say in response to that, is that one, it would be very good to have this stuff on, that we've tried this on record. It would be very good to get this on record. So one of the things that the truckers
were really
successful at was they were very good at making people, well, basically forcing them to be aware by being a nuisance, making it personally infringe upon their personal lives of average normal people who normally live with their heads in the sand, and making these things their problem. When politics actively interferes with your daily life, even if it's just making some noise, then at that point, people who were up till then really happy to just not, quote unquote, not make a fuss, and just live in absolute ignorance and apathy of everything that was going on in their country, all of a sudden, now a whole bunch of people started caring, and they started asking, what's going on? Why are these people like this? What's the deal with this?
Well, that's the start of a revolution, I think. And
100%.
Maybe we could cut out the R word, please.
Well, so I think I want to add one more thing, just in reference to what Paraclete's saying. So obviously we have a man here who is very educated in what he's talking about, and it's good for an informative. So the audience here, it's good for an informative nature for the people listening. But also, if we're going to go further with this, and we're going to make a plan, then that plan should be done, like I said, on another medium. Obviously, in person is the best way of doing it, but you're not going to get everybody across the country to meet in one spot and talk in person. It's just unreasonable. So the medium that I'm setting up is going to be ideal for this. And I think if there's going to be a plan of action to be made, it should start there. It should not start on Telegram. It should not start in a chat. It should be in private. Because Albert was saying, like, nobody here wants to get in trouble. Nobody here wants to be a target. We all want to use this as an outlet, which is great. But if plans are being made, if we're going to do this, that should be done elsewhere. And that's so if people are interested in this,
no plans are going to be made on Telegram or on this channel or on any channel whatsoever. Okay. If there's any police listening, please bring me a large poutine with extra cheese. That's my plan. Okay. Please bring me a large poutine.
I'll take some Big Mac. Anybody
wants extra sauce on mine?
Yeah, just a sec.
Exactly. Can extra sauce. Bring it up.
So
and apparently they're
and I want extra cheese like or something. Maybe some New York fries too. Okay, so I'm gonna call it a night because we've been going since 5. I think tonight was awesome. You guys are awesome. What I want to do moving forward is I want to run it like a radio show. I don't want to focus on one thing, you know, bonds or anything. What we will do, for those that are interested, we will post a bunch of information about the topics that were discussed tonight as they have been posted during the chat. And I want to run it. I want to run this like, a radio broadcast of like the 90s and 80s where people could call in and we'll have certain topics, you know, and we'll get guests and, you know, try to get guests or whatever to answer questions and, you know, different questions and different perspectives of the community. And ultimately, you know, we talk about how we're going to overcome and really look in the mirror. Everybody just needs to look. We just need to take a deep breath and we need to look in the mirror. We need to order a large poutine with New York fries. And we need to take a breath because we're all here. And we've all been subject to 2 years of absolutely gaslighting and fear-based psychosis. And we've all survived. We've come this far. So we could all pat ourselves on the back, every one of us. And I just want to thank you all, you know, for being here. They say that there's a saying about family and blood, about how just a minute, I wrote it down so I said it right. It's not family by blood, it's family by choice. And we're obviously choosing to be family together across this country. You know, we're sticking together and we're listening and we're coming up with ideas, and we'll do this again, we'll do more, and we'll get more people. Ultimately, the goal is to create an informed group of leaders that can go back to their community and they can do their own thing and be educated themselves. So I just want to thank you all for being here tonight. I want to thank you all for your participation. I want to thank Periclet for your brilliant take on sorority bonds, for educating us all. I appreciate you all for coming. I love you all, respect you all, and I wish you all a good night. Thank you very much. Tonight's
thank you, Albert.
What's that?
Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you. Thank you, John, for coming and adding your 2 cents. Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it. I look forward to you guys the next time, and I look forward to what the conversations will come. And yeah, rock on in a free world, unless you're in Canada. Thank you very much. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.